Good morning and welcome to the American Journal. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. A lot to discuss, a lot to get you up on as well. Happy Tuesday, everyone. All right. You know, we've been sifting through a lot of the updates, a lot of the headlines, a lot going on all around the country. Specifically, though, with our Department of Justice, apparently the DOJ, well, they're handing off more evidence of crimes to Congress. You heard that right. The FBI also part of that as well. It's kind of insane considering the fact that they are the top prosecutors in the country. And for some reason, all they keep doing is shuffling things over to Congress as if they don't have the authority to go out there and charge the individuals with crimes. All of these evil, evil people who we've been talking about for literally a decade now, for some reason, Pam Bondi just hasn't really moved on any of this. And she continues to shuffle everything over to Congress as if they are running the DOJ right now. The very latest on that we'll bring you in just a little bit, but it has to do with the Mar-a-Lago raid on President Trump's home, obviously. We've learned more in regards to just that. We'll also give you an update regarding the Brown University shooting. Still no shooter. The FBI, local police, releasing more grainy video footage of the perp, asking for the public's help while not really giving you much in the way of information. Now, according to witnesses that were in the classroom during the shooter actually yelled out something. But unfortunately, police won't tell you what he yelled out. But Laura Loomer's on it, and she's got her sources telling her specifically what she believes that was yelled out. Again, police being grilled for almost 2 minutes yesterday about what was said in that classroom before the shooter opened fire. And for some reason, PD won't tell you why. Well, we could all have our little conspiracies as to why they are refusing to do just that. But still, keep in mind, we don't have a suspect, and they are still on the run. For some reason, both the police and the FBI continue to fail in the Brown University shooting, and I'll give you the latest on that. Plus, obviously, folks, we've all seen the details regarding the shooting in Australia, those two Islamic terrorists opening fire on the first night of Hanukkah as Jews were just enjoying their vacation on the beach, Bondi Beach specifically. Well, we're learning more and more and how the Australian government failed to keep its people safe. Of course, like usual, these suspects were on their radar. And instead of acting, well, they just sat back. But don't worry, folks. You know what's going to save you? More gun control. More gun control. Because the two Islamic shooters apparently obtained their firearms, one of them at least did, legally. And so now what they're doing is they're trying to crunch down on the 6% of Australians that legally own their guns. It's going to become a destination now for Islamic terrorists, knowing that their people are unarmed and their cowardly police officers refuse to open fire, exchange fire at least, on these two perps for 20 minutes. 20 minutes. Also, it's worth noting Australian police apparently shot the one person who had the cojones, actually there was three sadly, but the one person who was able to successfully tackle the individual who was shooting, well, police shot him. So hand over your firearms and allow the police to protect you, the police who aren't capable of protecting you. Female police officers, of course, too, worth noting. They were all women who just stood behind cars and sat back and watched what was going on and unraveling before their very own eyes. Cowards, I tell you, cowards, absolute cowards. We're also going to be giving you updates in regards to Rob Reiner's murder. As many of you guys know, we high strongly condemned what President Trump said yesterday on Truth Social. Of course, he didn't tone it down. He also gave a soundbite, which I thought was absolutely egregious. But we're learning more about his murder. And now his son, his own son, has been arrested and is being held on $4 million bond. The son just struggling with addiction, apparently slashing his parents in the throat. No one deserves to die that way. Absolutely no one. So folks, I'm going to be giving you an update on a lot of stories. Plus, we have an incredible lineup of guests joining us in just a little bit. So buckle up. We got 3 hours up ahead and a lot more to discuss. In the meantime, though, Big Lee's working overtime to get you your Christmas gifts in time. So today, if you want to order something over at thealexjonesstore.com, today is the final, final day to get it by Christmas over at thealexjonesstore.com right now.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to the American Journal. Happy Tuesday, everyone. We're excited you're jumping on board with us today. A lot going on over here. We're going to catch you up on all the most important stories happening all across the country. So welcome to the show. Happy Tuesday, everyone. All right. Got a lot going on, a lot to catch you up on, a lot of incredible guests joining us today. Larry Taunton is going to be joining the show later in the segment because, folks, we got a lot to catch up on with him. He is someone who has actively traveled throughout the Middle East, reported on all of the atrocities committed by those who claim to be followers of Islam. So it'll be good to have him on the show today to get his reaction to both Syria and what we saw unravel in Australia and here in the homeland. So we look forward to having him on the show. Also, we're going to be joined by Ken Silva in just a little bit. Ken has been following that left-wing terror attack that was supposed to take place on New Year's Eve. The FBI claiming they have just prevented that from happening. We'll bring you the latest, because they did show footage yesterday, and it was quite compelling. So Ken Silva has been reading through the criminal complaints. He will be joining us to break down the very latest on that front, plus more, because I'm hearing that Dan Bongino is potentially going to be stepping down as deputy director over at the FBI. That also being reported by Fox News. He is pondering that idea. So I'll bring you the latest on that front in just a bit. I want to get to this story in regards to Brown University because, folks, we keep talking about this, and I think this is really one of the most important topics right now. Unfortunately, both the FBI and local PD have been unable to capture the individual who's responsible for committing a heinous terror attack on students over Brown University. Now, when you ask questions specifically about who this suspect is, you get nothing. You get grainy footage, grainy images, as if Brown University isn't one of the most elite colleges in this country and is unable to afford some type of better security cameras on campus. You're telling me that this is the best we have? You can't give us anything else? I mean, that could be a man, a woman, a tranny, who knows? But we're still looking for the perp, and unfortunately law enforcement is not trying to actually catch the person, because if they were, they'd be honest with you. They tell you things about the suspect. Things like, what did this individual scream out in that classroom before murdering two individuals and wounding a bunch of others? Well, unfortunately, they are refusing to tell you. Take a listen to clip one of what happened when they were grilled on that by local journalists.
And called into police. I mean, the reality is that this is a seven-story physics and engineering building that was unlocked, but this individual went to a specific classroom that was essentially in a study session for an exam on economics and chose that classroom. And we know from a witness inside that this gunman yelled something. We don't know what this individual yelled, and then began shooting. We also know that this person reportedly used a handgun. So a lot of questions also as to whether or not they recovered that handgun or what kind of ballistics evidence may have led them perhaps to this individual as well. So we have more questions than answers, yeah, other than the fact that we know the lockdown has been lifted and at least according to the mayor, this community can breathe a sigh of relief. But hopefully we hope to find out more in the coming hours.
All right, so that was the earlier report in regards to that individual yelling something out. That's what we learned just hours after that attack. Now listen to how police react when they're just simply asked, what did the shooter yell out? Take a listen to clip two.
Now there's a report the shooter yelled something right before he shot came in. Can you tell us what that was?
Yeah, it's part of the investigation, John, and we'll...
Now the other is, for instance, like with the Unabomber, his brother recognized the writing. So it's possible a friend or family member might recognize if the person said something that was significant.
Correct.
That's why you don't, other than the 9mm, is there anything else inside that auditorium that you
can
tell us?
No, that's correct. Listen, like I said earlier, investigations will bring us to evidence that we need to collect in order to be able to prosecute.
With that being said,
we're going to continue to collect evidence, and if it leads us to something to that nature that's going to be extremely helpful for us to identify somebody, we'll be the first ones to put it out.
All right, Alex.
Follow up on John's question. Did the suspect yell, like has been reported, and there's been some erroneous reporting, but did he yell when he came in the classroom? And how valuable have witness statements been from those who survived?
Listen, my heart goes out to the victims. It goes out to the families. And I'll tell you that their cooperation has been extremely helpful. With that being said, we'll continue, and I'm going to respect the fact that, and I hope that they get better, and my heart and soul goes out to them. So,
did he yell them?
That's something that we're investigating. We took statements, and we have to confirm that.
So, Mayor, we're going to
wrap it up here.
Group of cowards. The suspect is on the run. Why won't they tell you what he yelled out? They clearly know. They're not saying that they don't know what he yelled out before opening fire on these individuals, these victims. But for some reason, they won't tell you. Well, Laura Loomer is on the case, and apparently, according to her reports, she is suggesting that this individual yelled out Ali Akbar prior to opening fire. So why won't they tell you that? Wouldn't that also contribute to motive? Wouldn't you want the people in this country to know that? Well, if it's true, then gosh, local PD and the FBI are both covering up for a suspect because, well, he's Muslim. But again, they won't confirm that. We must rely on individuals to leak information to journalists and hope that it's accurate enough and tell the people ourselves. Folks, this case has been absolutely egregiously handled from local PD to the FBI and on and on. The FBI is saying, oh, we're going to give you a $50,000 reward if you could help us out. And then they put out crappy images of the suspect. The VP of the Republican Party over in Brown University was targeted, it appears, potentially. Sadly, she lost her life. And obviously another student as well. And they continue to say that it was an economics class. But again, why aren't we being given information? You're telling me Ring doorbell cameras are the best we have available? They don't have anything at the university to show us? You have no door footage? How'd the guy get in? This is all intentional. We all know this is. These people intentionally fail the public all the time. Whether it's they're trying to scrub the social media, trying to rewrite the narrative, we never know. And you cannot trust the government. We can't trust the government because this is the type of crap they pull. They know who this person is. There's no way they don't understand who this individual is. There's no way. It's 2025. We have biometric systems. We could run photos through, videos through, everything through to find out who these people are. You're telling me the Ring doorbell footage of this individual walking around residential neighborhoods is all you have? You have nothing from the university? He strolled into a classroom and opened fire on students. Where the hell is local PD? Trying to cover up, not telling us what this person screamed out before opening fire, not denying those claims, not saying, we honestly don't know. Saying that we're going to hold it back until we think maybe it will help us solve our case. And then local PD has several times now blamed the FBI for failing multiple times to take in the leads and to handle them appropriately. We know that. Ken Silva will be on a little bit of detail just that. But the reality of it is we have someone on the loose right now who just committed a horrific attack on Brown University students, and no one gives a damn. Instead, they'd rather be politically correct. If Laura Loomer's report checks out and it's factually true, we've got a major issue on our hands, folks. Major issue on our hands. These colleges, these universities, we've known for a while now that they've gone woke. But this FBI, remember when Dan Bongino tells you the new guard at the FBI? Well, where the hell is the information? You have every right to ask. And since we're just on the topic of the FBI and the endless failures there, let's turn to another story. This coming from Just the News, which is obviously a direct pipeline from the FBI these days. Take a look at this report. I shared the details regarding it. Apparently, Pam Bondi over at the AG's office, obviously the AG, and Director Kash Patel have uncovered more bombshell evidence that crimes were committed by the previous regime. And what are they doing about it, folks? Drum roll. They're giving it to Congress. The top prosecutor in our country is just going to hand it over to Congress. According to the DOJ, I'm just going to go with what I used to call all the time, the Department of Injustice at this point. That's what I used to refer to under the Biden regime, but you might as well just go with it now because nothing's changed, apparently. Apparently, the Attorney General and both Director Kash Patel have found really important emails that they're going to hand over to Congress today, according to this report. These emails reportedly show that the FBI apparently told the Biden-era Justice Department there wasn't enough probable cause to raid President Trump's Mar-a-Lago home back in 2022. But they raided it anyway. Now, you'd expect all of those individuals to possibly be going through disbarment processing, the DOJ referring them to be disbarred, the DOJ looking at the criminal charges. We have more evidence. Look at this. Crimes committed. We're just going to hand it off to Congress, though. Good luck. Good luck. Let Congress deal with it. Every time they find something new, you know what they do? They just hand it off to Congress. What are they waiting for? What the heck are they waiting for? Maybe you think it's going to pull badly if you file charges before the midterms. But the American people have zero motive to go out and vote for your party again and again and again. Midterms will completely be a landslide for Dems because you guys have zero cojones to do anything. Anything. We ask for the basics. And what do we get? We get more evidence of crimes committed, but zero action on behalf of the DOJ and the FBI. They continue to show you the injustice that took place, the crimes that were committed. And nothing is happening. Oh, yeah, just trust the system. They're working on it. Grand jury's popping up, but we can't talk about anything. No, when there is a grand jury that pops up, we see that they're unable to land an indictment. Time and time again. Sloppy work over at the DOJ, not helping people like Holligan over in Virginia. Lindsay Holligan, who really tried her best, was thrown into this last minute. I have zero to blame on her. Every person internally telling me that she had zero backup over from the top people over at the DOJ. They threw her into this mess, hoping for the best. And by hoping for the best, I mean just giving her literally zero to work with. So I have zero to blame on her. Everything's at the top of the DOJ right now. When you ask for comments, or when I talk to these people, every time they always say, okay, all of this is off the record. I'm told that my sources, when I confront these people, you got good sources. Yeah, my sources are fed up. They didn't go back to working into the government to just sit here and allow all of these criminals to be let off the hook. My sources are fed up. They are fed up. Just like the American people. It is absolutely embarrassing to sit here every single day and tell you about all the crimes that have been committed by the Biden regime, the Obama regime. And the follow-up, you got nothing. We have to wait for these leaks, the top people over at the FBI, turning to Just the News to tell us what's going on. It's absolutely egregious what's happening again and again. I'm just so fed up with talking about this. And then there were reports, what we'll talk about in a little bit also with Ken Silva a bit, but that Dan Bongino is possibly considering stepping down as deputy director. Why? Well, obviously, folks, if this is true, and this is reporting coming from Fox News, and I've heard for quite some time he's been very frustrated behind the scenes, how are you going to take Dan Bongino, somebody who was obviously a high, very credible podcaster, Fox News contributor as well, throw him into this. He thinks he's going in here to fight the deep state. And then for the most part, you have his hands tied behind his back. You have PR nightmare after PR nightmare after PR nightmare. And you expect him just to keep his face up there and smile and pretend like something's actually happening behind the scenes. It's probably exhausting. Dan was a very wealthy man before taking on this position. He had a very popular podcast, obviously one of the top podcasters in the conservative movement. And he took on this fight not because he wanted to work for the FBI, but because, well, he thought probably there was going to be some legitimate changes. And I spoke to him before he took on this role, congratulated him, and wished him nothing but the best. But there's something going on behind the scenes. Because, folks, nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. I'm not going to sit here and show you report after report and tell you, ooh, look, more corruption, more crimes. And then we just sit here and pretend like something's going to happen. Nothing's happening right now. And although they'll be like, oh, Brianna, you obviously don't understand. I think we saw like Megyn Kelly, a clip of Megyn Kelly saying, oh, they're not going to talk about things. That would be inappropriate. Are you kidding me? They leak things every day. And by leak, I mean hand things off to friendly media outlets. Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? When you look at the polling from Rasmussen reports repeatedly over at the FBI, I mean, people do not like this new FBI. And the internal report that came out, thanks to Miranda Devine for publishing, the people internally are telling you that there is a lack of professionalism going on right now at the FBI. I mean, how many more glaring signs do you need to see that there are a lot of issues going on right now at the FBI? And they don't like all the fake news reporting. I think that's what they refer to it as. Because people who are pissed off behind the scenes, who didn't join the government again to just sit back and allow everything just to continue on, are giving us bits and pieces of information. And they don't like that. Oh, look, we're catching predators. Well, listen, if you were legitimately catching child predators, which I know they love to talk about, they love to promote, I would be 100% on board for that as well. But the reality of it is this FBI likes to take a lot of credit for local PD work because they step in last minute to help make those arrests to help boost their reputation. So when they sit there and they tell you about the thousands of pedophiles that have been arrested, understand something. A lot of that dirty work was happening at the local levels, not the federal level. They just step in last minute for the good PR spin. Now they are doing good things though. We'll talk about 764 for a second. It's very important that we have an administration that takes that threat very, very seriously. Obviously, as many of you guys know, BX did an incredible job at reporting on it. And it looks like the FBI is finally taking that threat seriously. Making several arrests, key arrests, which is good. We have to protect kids, but the reality of it, there's nothing else really being done. Nothing else really being done. And we're going to sit here and pretend like everything's okay. You know, yesterday, we'll talk about it at length with Ken Silva again, but they announced the arrest of left-wing terrorist, alleged. Great news. But what else are we doing, guys? The top people, are we going to, the deep state I'm referring to, are we going to do something about that? Nothing? Why? Is everyone afraid? No, instead we can't do hard-hitting interviews. We have to go to those that are the friendlies. Because they don't ask good questions. Let's be blunt. They'll ask a decent question, a mediocre question, and there's zero follow-up because on the topic itself, they don't understand what's actually happening. And it's just so infuriating because nobody voted for this. Nobody voted for this. And we sat here, we endorsed people like Director Patel to take on these positions. AG Pam Bondi, I mean, I didn't really endorse her, but here we are. And nothing's being done. They just keep telling you to wait, stand by. Something's going to happen. Something big's going to happen soon. But we have no idea what's actually happening. Why? Well, they tell you it's an ongoing investigation. We can't talk about it. Like cowards. That's what cowards do. No, the American people should know about these things. To sit here and continuously say that they can't share information with us because these investigations are ongoing is cowardly. They have no problem leaking information that makes them look good. of ongoing investigations, of course. Is that they're handing off the story like we see today over at Just the News because there's actually nothing going to happen on the other end of this? Is that not an ongoing investigation regarding the Mar-a-Lago raid? The emails are going to be handed over to Congress. You guys reported that through Just the News. Is that not an ongoing investigation? Is that the safe one that they can leak out? You see, when it's things that make them look good, they have no problem at putting it out there. But when it's really just hard-hitting questions that we have, like, does Thomas Crooks, did he have social media accounts? Are these social media posts, if you're talking Carlson, who's just trying to, are these social media posts belonging to Thomas Crooks? Oh, how do you know those are authentic? I mean, that's literally what the FBI told him when he tried to vet a story before releasing it publicly because the FBI was pissed off that he was going to drop that information. These people just sit there all day, scroll on X because they want to make sure that conservative podcasters aren't saying anything mean to hurt their feelings rather than doing the job that they are supposed to do. How do we know that? Well, unfortunately, when the report did come out from Miranda Devine regarding just that, that those internally at the FBI feel like they spend way too much time, those at the top, the agency, scrolling through social media, their answer was to go on social media and call Miranda Devine's reporting deep state divine. And then go attack Miranda personally, as if she's not been an incredible patriot who's been truthful on all subject matters, regardless of who's occupying the White House. So time and time again, we continue to see this, and the FBI just continues to pretend like we have to just so blindly support whatever they say. Ongoing investigations. We've got it. Sit back and watch. Sit back and watch. Something big happening soon. This isn't a novella. This is the future of this country, and you have every damn right to ask the most simple questions. Like, at what point do we start seeing the people that were on a mission to destroy this country over the last decade pay by being prosecuted? The guy who literally wrote an entire book on government gangsters seems to be frozen. The DOJ, who's being occupied by AG Pambani right now. She is the one who is leading the agency, the department itself. We don't see much on her front. Again, she got confirmed pretty quickly. Had me scratching my head. Support of red flag laws in Florida. Not just that, she's also accused of being one to comply with the fake witness being put on the stand during the Trayvon Martin hearings, the trials, as many of you guys know. Those are accusations she faces as well. Well, she just walked right into this position. No pushback. And then obviously the second in command over at the Department of Justice, being a registered Democrat until a couple of weeks ago. What the f*** are we doing? It's a serious question that needs to be asked. Serious question that needs to be asked. We're going to talk more about that in just a bit with Ken Silva. He's joining the show in about 5 minutes. We will also be discussing the latest in Australia because obviously when an Islamic terrorist attack happens, if you are a globalist, you would actually go after the firearms rather than the individuals coming into your country and destroying it. That's what's going on right now in Australia. So we'll give you the very latest on that front in just a bit. In the meantime, though, it's the final day to head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigley is working overtime to make sure that they get the Christmas gifts out for all of you who order right now over the Alex Jones Store. And select items are 60% off for the time being. Head on over to the AlexJonesStore.com right now. More on the way.
They looked at sleep deprivation with creatine supplementation. And so they randomized people to either drink a placebo drink or drink 20 grams of creatine through the night. And they kept them awake all night and they had them do brain puzzle quizzes. And when the subjects were getting the 20 grams of creatine, they did way better on the brain puzzles, but they also complained about being tired a lot less. And so the conclusion is creatine is somehow acutely preventing your brain from suffering during sleep deprivation. And the rationale there is, you know, mitochondria are the powerhouse of the cell or the power plant that's producing the energy. Creatine is like the power grid, and it distributes that energy throughout the cell. And so if the purpose of sleep is to restore the energy that you used up, but then you intervene by putting creatine in there, now you can keep that energy going and you can go more hours before you need to get rest and restore that energy because you've increased your capacity to distribute it.
That makes sense. Used to be people only thought of creatine as being a muscle thing. To help you recover. But then over the last year or two, I started hearing talking about cognitive function.
There is some literature on traumatic brain injury where 20 grams of creatine for 6 months doubles the rate of healing.
Whoa. That's incredible.
But it's, yeah, just creatine, I called it more than a performance enhancer because if you just look at where it's distributed in the body, almost every cell and every tissue has the creatine system. And if you look at the literature, they'll say, well, it's more important in certain cells, like it's really important in your muscles because your muscles have this very polarized, sometimes they're at rest, sometimes their energy demand is going through the roof. And it's really important in, like long cells. So for example, your retina is part of your central nervous system, and it's a really long cell that's coming from the brain into the eye, and creatine helps move energy back and forth. But if you just look at where, instead of where is it most important, you just like, where is it? It's like almost every cell in your body has creatine, and it's helping distribute the energy that the mitochondria make throughout your whole body, and that includes pumping stomach acid, it includes sperm swimming up the vaginal canal. And so if you just look at where it is, you would think that creatine would help a lot more than muscles. And I think creatine is really important because it's not in the mitochondria so much as it carries forth the mitochondrial energy of the rest of the cell. That also feeds back in the repair functions for the mitochondria. And so I think creatine, optimizing your creatine status is super important. And I think that everyone who's not eating 1 or 2 pounds of meat per day should probably be taking creatine.
We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning. Welcome to the American Journal. I'm trying to cool off after that one because, folks, I'm really triggered by our FBI DOJ these days. They're doing absolutely nothing. And we're going to get into that in a little bit with Ken Silva in just a moment. But first, I wanted to let you know that the jobs report just came in and just wanted to break down the data for you. When it comes to that, it looks like, a little good news, the non-farm payrolls rose. I was expected to be around 50,000 for November, but it reached about 64,000. The U.S. lost about 105,000 jobs, it looks like, back in October, which is down from 119,000 jobs that were lost in September. And the unemployment rate did raise, it's rising a little bit. It's about 4.6% last month compared to 4.5% in September of 2021. So again, I mean, that's the numbers trickling down from the jobs report. So I want to make sure we brought you the very latest on that front as well. All right, let's kick things off by talking about the FBI. We'll give them a little bit of credit when credit's due. It looks like they possibly prevented a left-wing terrorist attack that was supposed to take place on New Year's Eve, it looks like. The FBI alleging that these four, look at those eyes. Man, oh man. Sobriety. Probably? No? Maybe not. Who knows? But these four are facing allegations that they were looking to carry out a terrorist attack in Los Angeles, across Los Angeles. They were looking to drop explosives throughout the city. And apparently, according to the FBI, the group is called Turtle Island Liberation Front. And they were looking to possibly set off a bunch of explosives all around the city. Joining me to discuss is the editor over at Headline USA, Ken Silva. He's read through the criminal complaints. He's gone through all the evidence that they've presented thus far. And he joins me to break it all down. He's a great follow. Also on X, if you haven't done so already, give him a follow at JD_cashless. Make sure you do that now as well. Ken, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you on. All right. So we were covering it yesterday when the press conference was happening. And I told our audience to hold back. Don't jump on anything yet. Because we know that the FBI has a habit of, let's just say, leading people to carry out potential plots. And then they, you know, say, oh, look at us. We caught these people. But there's a bulk of these individuals who are usually being paid by the agency itself. So I told everyone to hold off and wait. So far from what you've seen in the criminal complaint and that press conference that was held yesterday, what are we learning?
Yeah, I know, Brianna, you want to give FBI credits where it's due, but I do have a lot of questions about this case. Whether or not the four defendants are like commie freaks that would hate you and me, I'm sure they are. Mm-hmm. But whether this was a legitimate terrorist plot is a whole nother question. And, you know, reading through the criminal complaint, I've got a lot of questions about that. I mean, it basically says that one of the defendants gave an FBI informant an 8-page bombing plan in late November. They had another meeting on December 7th, a meeting in which the FBI informant and an undercover agent were also present with the four defendants. And then they go out to the desert on December 12th to construct these explosives and do kind of a test run. And that's when the bust was made. So, you know, right off the bat, there's questions about why was this FBI informant involved with the group in the first place? What was the criminal predicate? The complaint says this informant has been working for the Fed since 2021 as a paid informant, not a criminal that they flipped. You know, there's questions why the undercover FBI agent was involved too. You know, even with like the Whitmer Fed napping plot, you know, that indictment reads that some FBI informant was on Facebook and saw, you know, violent rhetoric by the militias in early 2020, and that's how he became involved. We know now that that's a BS story, but at least they tried to give us a story. Here, you know, we don't have any information. And then there's a question about the sophistication and whether these defendants would be able to pull off this plot by themselves in the first place. We don't know who drafted this 8-page bombing plan. And, you know, like a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about this FBI busting and an ISIS plot to commit mass shootings on Halloween. And that actually looked more legitimate to me, you know, a more legitimate reason for the FBI to intervene, because, of course, any person could just grab a rifle and go commit a mass shooting. But here, there's a level of sophistication that's needed that doesn't seem to be present. I mean, I'm quoting straight from the criminal complaint here. At one point on December 11th, one of the defendants says, after further research, I retract my earlier statement of specializing in electrical work. I have the basics down, but building circuits is beyond me, and the circuits would be needed for the digital timer. So it doesn't seem like these defendants, you know, would have been able to construct bombs that would have been able to do any kind of damage, which they're alleged to do. They're alleged to have been planning to carry it out on New Year's Day. So, you know, we need more information about this. And I guess the last thing I'll say about this L.A. field office is we had, you know, one of the sketchiest cases I've seen in quite a while happened in May, where a suspect bombed a fertility clinic and died in that attack. And then the person who sold him explosives was arrested and supposedly committed suicide in prison. And the suspect's girlfriend also committed suicide. And then we had a press conference with the same FBI official involved in this case getting asked a question about the FBI actually monitoring the suspect's home the week before the attack. And he says, oh, I can't comment on that. And the press conference was immediately shut down. So I'm not saying these two cases are related, but this field office does have kind of a track record in these kind of sketchy operations, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think that's key to highlight just that, because again, folks, we need to know this. I mean, the fact that I watched your clip that you posted on your X page, Ken, and I, again, remind our audience to go give you a follow because you're the first one to put these things up. And these things are really important for everyone to hear. I mean, I listened, and literally, as soon as the reporter asked, he says, I cannot confirm, and then quickly they sweep it and push them all out of the room. So again, this is why so many people do not trust this federal agency, because you see things like that, and you go, why can't you just answer a simple question? It has no real reasoning to not be answered unless you don't want to highlight your own failures, or why you intentionally just didn't make a move at the time. I mean, you could have obviously prevented that possibly from taking place, and maybe that's the reason why they do that. But I also want to highlight this because, you know, yesterday we were trying to buckle down and wait for them to show the footage in regards to that test run that they said was carried out in the desert. And the FBI took their time with doing that. But we finally have the playback from that. So I want to play clip 11 and how they detail that dry run that they were talking about. Take a look.
A group of individuals, again, members of this anti-government group, traveled out to the desert to test their explosive devices. They had precursor chemicals there, and they were going to create these bombs in the desert. What they are starting to do is put their chemicals and wares and the components out on the table there. This footage that you're watching is from our surveillance plane, and then what happened after this is the Los Angeles FBI SWAT team, along with the FBI's hostage rescue team, moved in and arrested all four subjects without incident.
All right, Ken, I don't consider myself to be a genius, but if there's a airplane hovering over me or a drone hovering over me while I'm about to start testing explosives, I probably wouldn't do what I'm about to do, but they're claiming that this was shot from the airplane, and then it sounds like, and you could confirm it for me because you read through the criminal complaint, it sounds like immediately after were they arrested, or was this shortly after, a couple of days after? Like, how did this all go down?
They were arrested at the site, and in that footage, you see six people. Four of them were arrested. The other two were the undercover informant and the undercover agent. So I got to imagine the plane was pretty high up there. They probably didn't notice. Maybe they just thought it was a commercial airliner. But this goes to further underscore, you know, the lack of preparation. I mean, it seems like they hadn't even constructed a viable device before they were arrested. So again, I'm wondering, you know, the level of sophistication of these people. And I want to actually go further into the notion of this supposed 8-page bombing plan that we don't know who drafted or where it even came from. And that kind of reminds me of the January 6th Proud Boys sedition case, where that largely hinged on a document called the 1776 Returns Manifesto. And it turned out that somehow got in the Proud Boys chat group, but it was like a document for overthrowing the government, but it turned out that it was drafted by a self-described Israeli intelligence asset, and it was put on Google Drive, and it just somehow ended up in their chat room. So again, I wouldn't take the FBI's word for it that this was actually drafted and devised by the defendants arrested in this case.
Yeah, and I remember actually speaking with the individual who said that it was sent to her, and she just sent it around in that Proud Boys chat. And it sounded like it was intentionally planted or given to her. Somebody who didn't really know what she was doing with it, just thought that she was going to forward it over because she thought it was important for the other guys to see. And then that was used against them. And it was something that really, yes, really bothered her because she wasn't a willing participant in that. So yeah, I remember that vividly. Ken, I want to turn to something else that just broke earlier this morning. It looks like Just the News, which they always get the exclusives. I joke and say it's a pipeline for the FBI these days to put out things without actually putting out things. And so they've sent this one over. And this one though, it looks like we're about to get some new bombshell news from both the DOJ and the FBI in regards to, the old guard not having enough probable cause to raid President Trump's home, Mar-a-Lago, back in 2022. Now, according to the report, these internal emails, which apparently are the FBI telling the DOJ it's not enough here, and the DOJ obviously is still just carrying out that search on Mar-a-Lago, these emails are now being handed off to Congress. Ken, I started the show off by screaming about how annoyed I am that we're continuously handing things off to Congress as a top prosecutor in the country, that literally the highest. They continue to give things over to Congress rather than show us any evidence that they're going to be charging the people behind all of this. What do you make of the latest report?
Yeah, this just seems par for the course as far as Kash Patel's modus operandi. I mean, what day are we on? You usually tweet almost every day, 300 some odd, without a single Biden or Obama administration official being arrested. So it seems like, yeah, Kash Patel gives Just the News a lot of these juicy documents showing that, you know, Russiagate had no criminal predicate. The Mar-a-Lago case was cooked up. Yeah, par for the course. I mean, let's remember that maybe Trump violated the letter of the law when it came to the classified information case. But of course, you know, show me the man and I'll show you the crime. It's very easy for the FBI to cook up these cases. And when they're politically motivated, of course, they're going to go for it. Let's not forget that, you know, Joe Biden was also mishandling classified documents, and Special Prosecutor Robert Hurd declined to prosecute him on the basis that he was kind of a doddering old man and he doesn't think he could get a conviction. And of course, I want to mention that the judge who signed off on this search warrant, the raid that apparently FBI agents had concerns about, according to Just the News, that's the judge who used to be business partners with Jeffrey Epstein. Mm. He had been working in the DOJ's Southern Florida office that was investigating an Epstein in 2007, and then he forms a law firm in the same office that Epstein would eventually serve his community, you know, his work release on, and he eventually ended up being Epstein's lawyer. So that's Bruce Reinhart. The case is dirty as hell, but, you know, let's see some arrests.
Yeah, and we're literally asking for the bare minimum. I mean, the charges that they did file, or did try to file, didn't land when it comes to like Tish James or, you know, James Comey, who we keep hearing updates on, all these missteps. But the key players in all of this, they just seem to look the other way on and just continue to show it. Like, it's like a shiny little toy, like, oh, look at what other crimes we found. And then they just shift it off to Congress as if Congress has the power to prosecute these people. It's absurd, but it's what's going on right now over at the DOJ. And, you know, we're hearing reports, Fox News actually reporting, I probably should get to this point too, since it's related, that Dan Bongino, it's kind of the same. Dan Bongino is weighing out, potentially stepping away from the agency, saying within the coming weeks he's going to decide whether or not he stays as the deputy director. You know, I can't imagine Dan being very happy with all of this, obviously going out and attacking Miranda Devine for publishing a report that says he spends so much time on social media and that there's a lot of unprofessional things happening behind the scenes in all of this, and kind of getting a failed report card, both him and Director Patel. And then kind of proving them right by going after, you know, Devine in a tweet as well. So it looks like he might be stepping down. What do you make of this?
Well, I understand Dan's frustrations. I mean, he's kind of been made to look a fool from day one, where the FBI, presumably his underlings, gave him really terrible information about how Epstein couldn't have killed himself because we have the surveillance footage of inside the jail. He goes out and trumpets this. And then, of course, that surveillance footage didn't even show Epstein's cell. So it really proved nothing. And I think he got mad about that. There were rumblings about him threatening to resign at the time. And it seems like he's been totally neutered because we now have a co-deputy director. So I'm sure he's not happy about that. But yeah, he hasn't done himself any favors in attacking members of the media. And I think recently, with this pipe bomb case, he had been saying as a podcaster that it's an inside job. It was, you know, somebody in the government planted it. And then now in his capacity as deputy director, he's saying, no, it was this black autistic guy in Virginia. And, you know, I was just giving my opinion, which, of course, saying it's an inside job isn't an opinion. That's an analysis based off of facts that you know as a journalist. Like, an opinion is, should taxes be higher or lower? It's not, oh, this is an inside job. That's an analysis, which is why people liked him in the first place. So he's really destroyed his credibility, and he says that his plan is to return to the media circuit. And I'll be really curious to see how that goes, to see if he still has the same kind of following, because it seems like he's really burned a lot of bridges.
Yeah, it does. And it's unfortunate because I know he went into this with the best intentions possible. But I think for the FBI, for the deep state operatives, it's actually a very masterful thing to allow to happen because they have somehow burnt his credibility. I mean, coming forward and telling us the Epstein footage was going to be released soon and it was going to be very clear that he did kill himself. And then we noticed that there was a couple of minutes worth of footage clipped out of it. Obviously, that does a lot to damage your reputation, plus so much more. So I can understand his frustrations. And I still, you know, don't want to challenge his credibility as a person, because I know that Dan went in with the best intentions possible, but the reality of it is, I mean, this has been a PR nightmare without very little support on his behalf, and it is hard to kind of sit back and watch, and we've had to sit back and watch for quite some time, and I've been very lenient because of the person that we've known, the podcast we've known for quite some time now. I didn't think that there was a way that he was going to do all of this and kind of allow this to happen, but unfortunately it has taken place, so I think the best case scenario is for him to step away from this, because it seems like if he does, the evidence is very clear that there's a lot going on internally at the FBI and they are not the ones in control. And that's me being very generous, of course. I want to shift gears a little bit though to clip 12, because it looks like that Brown University shooting that took place over the weekend, we're waiting to see more information. We're getting grainy, crappy footage, surveillance footage, and it's not even footage from Brown University. Like, the footage is literally from door ring bells, the ring doorbells. And they want us to think that, oh, this is the footage. Brown University apparently has no cameras anywhere, which is hard to wrap my mind around, especially given the fact that it's Brown University. And then we get these still images where you can't see the person's face. You can't see much on them. And so they want us to help solve this case, but they won't even tell us the basics, even what this person screened out before opening fire. But it looks like local PD is in a little bit of a feud with the FBI itself. Take a listen to clip 12.
In his tweet that it was a tip from Providence Police that led you all to Hampton Inn. Can you confirm if that's true, and what exactly was the evidence that led you to this person of interest?
Yeah, so it was there was a tip that came in, just like we were taking any other tips, and that one came in specifically identifying a person of interest, which was this individual. And so we, our detectives got on it, just like they got on another, but this specific one, it was actually picked up by the FBI, and they followed through with it. And they ended up coming and locating this individual of interest, and at that point, we did a thorough investigation, ended up drafting some search warrants, came up with some evidence, but that evidence was examined, and we didn't have enough, obviously, to be able to prosecute anybody, and so that person was released. Go ahead.
All right, to jump into this too, it's important to note that the President of the United States tweeted out that the suspect was apprehended and then all of a sudden reversed that statement. I think it's probably clear that the FBI was the one that alerted them to that. That's just kind of me speculating at this point, because I don't think he's been asked that question as to who told him that the individual was in custody. But it's very, very clear that the local police aren't very happy with the FBI and all of this. What do you make of it?
Yeah, and so I saw that clip yesterday and I retweeted it, where the locals blame the FBI for detaining the suspect, and it turned out to be the wrong guy. And I got pushback saying, well, this was a tip that was given to the locals and they just passed it to the FBI to run it down. So that's like a legitimate counterpoint. But of course, there's the issue that Kash Patel goes on Twitter and says, hey, we have a suspect detained. And obviously Patel, well, not obviously, but I highly suspect that he was the one that probably told Trump, who tweeted it out. And this is a huge public safety risk, because with the shooter still on the loose and people go back to their normal lives, like, that could have put them in danger. So, you know, it's another clown show reminiscent of the Charlie Kirk assassination case. And it's not going to, you know, inspire much confidence in our public institutions. You know, I guess at this point, maybe we could get Steve Baker on the case to do some gate recognition analysis. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, Ken, you know, it's kind of crazy to me that this has all been going down for quite some time now, and there's very little, like, individuals stepping up to try to do something about this. We're talking about an attack that happened on Sunday, and we have zero pieces of evidence, and that in itself, to me, is what's really, really disturbing in all of it, and I'm really getting fed up was sitting back and watching as our government, the local PD, the federal agencies are just refusing to do anything. You know, we keep hearing that there are reports that this individual, before opening fire, screamed something out. local journalists tried their very best to get local PD to even respond and to tell us what was said, literally saying, we played this clip earlier in the show, literally saying that if it's something that we think is going to be beneficial to our investigation, we'll release it. But, you know, Laura Loomer has reported that the individual screamed at Ali Akbar prior to opening fire. Now, again, that's her reporting. But the fact that they're not sharing any of this information to me is really infuriating. It's a reason why so many of us rely on just source leaks, because officials themselves don't want to confirm it. And this is how information could be factually true. And then we just kind of sit back and wait for it to be told to us. I mean, this could essentially, I guess this is where I'm going with all this. It could be something that others would be able to kind of figure out, oh, wait a minute, if you scream that out, I know who that person is. I've seen that Jack before. And it could add to someone else's suspicion, which leads to the tip, which leads to an arrest. But the fact they won't even tell you what was screamed out by this individual prior to opening fire and killing innocent people in that room is deeply concerning. Ken, we've got about 2 minutes left, or I should say 90 seconds left. What do you make of all of this when local police are just refusing to answer those simple questions?
Well, yeah, the fact this is a liberal college could, you know, Loomer's report could be legit. One of my first jobs was in the Oberlin, Ohio area, and you had this case where a black kid stole from a bakery, and the college kind of pushed the local police to not charge him because they didn't want, you know, backlash against, like, minorities. Mm-hmm. And this case went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And it just kind of highlighted how liberal schools, you know, for the sake of social justice or to cover up their image, they kind of suppress these politically inconvenient facts. And if that's the case, maybe the FBI just needs to take in charge of the investigation altogether. Although it seems like a case where you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. I don't really have much confidence in either institution, to be frank.
Yeah, Ken. I mean, I'm always trying to be optimistic here, but unfortunately, there's not much these days to be optimistic on. But you're doing incredible work, so we're thankful for that, folks. If you haven't done so already, head on over to his X page. Give him a follow. JD_cashless on X. You're first to everything. So I highly recommend our audience do just that. Thanks for joining me, as always, Ken. We appreciate your reporting.
Yep, thank you.
All right, folks. Like I said, give him a follow on X. I'd highly recommend it. It is very, very important for you to do just that because, again, he's first to everything. I mean, literally everything. He reads through the criminal complaints. He gets up the most critical parts of the criminal complaints. So he is a great follow on X. Okay. In the meantime, I want to remind you all to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Why? Well, we have 60% off on some of your favorite supplements, of course. Sea moss gummies, one of your favorites, methylene blue as well, and so much more. Also, the creatine gummies, those are also on sale as well. Those were just recently released. We've got them at a discounted price. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you place your orders by today. Again, this sale ends today. And in case you wanted to save extra money, make sure you become a subscriber as well. You get 50% off every month for life. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us, We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Jumping on board with us today. We got a lot of digging in to do in regards to not only just terror threats happening all across the country, but the, Islamic terror threats. That's the only way that we could kind of put it these days. Because the reality of it is folks, there's only one side looking to go out there and to murder Jews as they lay out on the beach and celebrate Hanukkah, or go after Christians as they celebrate at Christmas markets all across the world. There's only one group of people who are doing that. Only one. And the common thread here is Islam. Whether you want to believe it or not, I don't know how many more times for us to tell you this. We've called out the threat extensively, obviously. Some people believe it's an active threat. Some people still don't. I don't know what more you need to see. Maybe crack open a Quran for yourself and see what kind of garbage they consume every day. But there's over 100 verses. I'll keep screaming this out. And I'm working on flagging each one. I've got my Quran. I'm reading through it. I'm flagging all of the calls of violence for non-believers. The ones that also, and the verses in the Quran that also validate and justify raping non-believers, women specifically, of course, and using them as their personal sex slaves. Because in their Quran, it's acceptable, it's justified, it's encouraged. So this is what happens when you import these people. But apparently it's also happening in Poland, which I actually found to be shocking. According to just a report that was just released, there's apparently an ISIS threat, a terrorist attack that was being planned and plotted at a Christmas market in Poland. Now, the reason why this one is just setting off all red flags is Poland has historically pushed back and not allowed these Muslim migrants into their country. They've obviously been ridiculed by those over at the EU. They've been punished for just that, for pushing back on this threat. But it looks like, according to this report, and we'll go into detail in just a little bit, that there was apparently a plot to attack a Christmas market in Poland. I'll bring you the latest on that in just a bit. Wanted to just say, you know, I was in Grapevine this weekend with my family, and we were trying to enjoy the, it's known as the Christmas capital of Texas, and it is absolutely beautiful. And as many of you guys know, right now there is just a total takeover of Islam in the region. We've seen 48 mosques go up within the last, I don't know, two years. And it's been absolutely devastating to see for as someone specifically who's in there. I hear music underneath me. I don't even understand how it's even possible. But for some reason, the local politicians haven't really done anything on that front. And the reality of it is as I'm sitting here just trying to walk with my family, we have to walk through concrete and metal barricades because God forbid if a vehicle goes rogue and decides to run over Christians, that's how they always spin it, right? It's the vehicles. Car hits people at Christmas market. Islamic terrorist who plows car through Christians peacefully enjoying the holiday season. No, never that. But the reality of it is we had to walk through these barricades to get in. And then I'm sitting here walking around as Muslims. And if it would be one thing if they actually wanted to enjoy the holiday spirit, enjoy and understand Christianity and why we celebrate Christmas. But it wasn't the case. It wasn't the case. It for them, they were rude, they were nasty, they were pushing, they were shoving, wouldn't get out of the way. These aren't people who are like us. And when I say like us, you know, every other background has no problem with assimilating here to the in this country, pretty much, sometimes. But for some reason, these people think we owe them something, and they're pushy, they're shovy, they're nasty. And so we're seeing time and time again that these Christmas markets all across Europe, well, they're facing the threat of Islam. And the fact that Poland is saying that they had an Islamic terrorist attack that was being plotted is scary as heck, folks. Because Poland has consistently pushed back and prevented these individuals from coming into their country. So what the heck is going on here? What the heck is going on here? We're going to dig into that in a little bit, plus bringing the latest in Australia, because, of course, instead of dealing with these Islamic individuals you've imported into Australia, they want to go after your guns. And then we know this is why they let these terror attacks play out, because they want to use it as a gun grab. That's exactly what's happening to Australians. The 6% who have legally obtained their firearms right now, they are facing that very threat. I'll dig into that in just a bit. Don't go anywhere. More on the way.
Alex Jones, patriot, a man they tried to silence. They came for his voice, his platform, his life, but they can't stop him. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology, we have the capability to make the world's most unstoppable force. Alex Jones will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger, faster, louder.
Go to alexjonesapp.com, the number one news app in the world.
Yes!
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Thanks for jumping on board with us on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Today is Tuesday. I know it's been a crazy start to the week, and we're trying to follow all of the threats that are going on all across the world right now. As many of you guys know, Islam is one of the biggest threats that are going on because, obviously, it's the holiday season. Whether you're in Australia and you're Jewish and you're just trying to enjoy the first night of Hanukkah with your family laying out on the beach, Islamic terrorists will gun you down. Whether you're just walking and strolling through a Christmas market because you want to, as a Christian, of course. But you can't do that in Europe anymore either. Because guess what? They're using their vehicles to go after people, to run them over, obviously, because, well, the Quran tells them to go after and to kill. It's devastating, it's heartbreaking that we can't even enjoy the holiday season anymore because Islam has made its way across the West. But sadly, everyone's a coward and doesn't want to actually address the issue. I don't care what your political beliefs are on Israel. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about here. Yes, obviously, there are cases where Israel has been the reason why so many have flown, Middle Easterns, Muslims who have been able to make their way into the West. We've used it for the justification of bringing in asylum seekers sometimes. Okay, yeah, you got that. But the reality of it is they have been on a mission to conquer the West for hundreds and hundreds of years. And what's going on right now? Well, they're making their way. And for a very long time, I thought Poland was exempt from a lot of this because they were so brave when the EU decided to go after them and try to punish them for not taking in these Islamic refugees, but apparently that's not the case. There's a report that was just released regarding a Christmas market ISIS mass terror attack plot that was apparently prevented in Poland. Polish authorities have apparently stopped that from happening, which was expected to happen at a Christmas market. Now they're saying that this was a 19-year-old student. He's been arrested officially. He's apparently studying over at a Catholic university as well, which is very, very interesting here. The suspect, who apparently is a Polish citizen, is reportedly fascinated by Islam and terrorism. And he's accused of planning an explosive attack, researching how to manufacture that explosive, seeking contacts with ISIS members, and had intentions of joining ISIS to obtain support. Authorities emphasized the plot was to disturb, obviously, disrupt. That's what they did. They disrupted it. They ended it. They, thank God, were able to catch on to this, preventing potentially mass amount of casualties. So that's as we keep digging into this, we're learning more and more. Again, that report just came out. And Poland is not afraid of calling this stuff out. The fact that this was somebody who obviously is a native is deeply, deeply concerning. And it's not obviously just the immigration issue here, folks. We've got a real issue with things being done online, things happening online, recruitment online. So we'll see the details on that. I've actually just reached out to Polish officials, and hopefully we get somebody on to talk about that within the next couple of hours. But again, if that's not the case, I'll just keep bringing you the latest, and I'll keep asking them to send me information on that, because, folks, Poland is one of the safest countries. And so this is big, big news. But we're also examining other plots all across the world. And unfortunately, one was actually carried out in Australia. As many of you know, we reported about the father and the son who opened fire on those who were just trying to enjoy Hanukkah, the celebration at Bondi Beach over the weekend. These two demons opening fire on people who literally were doing nothing to them, but trying to enjoy time with their families. Killing 15 so far. Sadly, 15 have passed. And the stories are absolutely devastating. Now, apparently the son was a citizen. But in January, it looks like they had traveled to the Philippines to receive some type of training. The details get even, it's so devastating. So devastating. Because the civilians are unarmed. Only about 6% of those in Australia households have firearms. Because they crunched down on gun ownership back in the 90s, mid-90s. And the devastating news is apparently there was a couple. Boris and Sophia Gurman, brave couple in their 60s, who took on the one terrorist. And sadly, both of them lost their lives. Sadly, they both died in each other's arms. It's absolutely just a devastating story. But these two are brave. Brave. They tried to stop him after they spotted the terrorist emerging from a car draped with a homemade ISIS flag before the deadly rampage. The dramatic dashboard camera shows that Boris courageously tackled the terrorist on the streets and wrestled the gun away from him, tried to, while his wife tried to help. Patriots. It's just so devastating, man. This is just so devastating. All of this stuff is preventable if our governments didn't hate humanity. Now, again, we're learning more and more specifically of what was used to radicalize these individuals. Wissam Hayadeh, I guess I should say. My friends always crack jokes at me when I just go, let's just call him Mohammed. But he's an individual who has been in Sydney, Australia for quite some time now, and he has been what many have accused him of as being an ISIS hate preacher. Now, this individual, we played a clip for you yesterday, we're going to play it again. But apparently one of those terrorists, the one is currently in custody and survived, sadly. Well, according to reports, he listened to this preacher quite often. He was actually a big fan of him. Now, if you're wondering what kind of inspirational things this preacher preached, take a listen to clip 3.
We can't take away from the fact, first and foremost, that jihad is definitely part of our deen. And as Muslims, we should never ever shy away from this. And yes, there may be types of jihad, but of the peak of this jihad is that which the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about, and I'll read the hadith soon. And that is fighting in the path of Allah azza wa jalla. A physical fight, not the fighting of the nafs. Although your nafs is needed in order for your physical to go out in the path of Allah. So we're not talking about the struggle of the nafs, we're talking about the physical jihad, the physical struggling against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to make the word of Allah azza wa jal the highest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to, which means, not equal are those believers remaining at home, other than the disabled and the mujahideen. who strive and fight in the cause of Allah with their wealth and their lives. Allah has preferred the mujahideen through their wealth and their lives. And for those who remain behind by degrees. And to both Allah has promised the best reward. But Allah has preferred the mujahideen over those who remain with a great reward.
Remember when Australia was going after those who were putting up videos or posts about the COVID jabs? They went there with all of their authorities, all their police officers, went after people. But someone like that, I wonder why he was able to preach in Australia. He's clearly telling you that Allah, whoever that is, really enjoys not those who peacefully practice their so-called religion, but he says specifically that he likes those who go out there and kill. That's what he's talking about there. It's absolute garbage. It's absolute garbage. Why would Australia allow that individual to preach? Again, that's not free speech, and they don't have free speech in Australia. So why? Why would you allow that? Well, many probably could say, because you'd like to see a terrorist attack take place, and then you could use it as another opportunity to do another gun grab. Not a real conspiracy, it's the reality, because within seconds, of course, of these terrorist attacks taking place, before the bodies even go cold, you've got local officials preaching, screaming, gun control, that's what we need. Now again, it looks like that the individuals who did carry out this terrorist act, those demons, did legally obtain those firearms. I don't know, maybe individuals who shouldn't belong in your country in the first place, maybe just don't give them firearms. You know, people who come from countries that hate us, don't give them firearms. That's the only gun control I'm an advocate of these days. The rest of it's absolute garbage because they don't want the people in Australia to be able to defend themselves. And we'll go into why that's so important, but it's good to see. It's a little refreshing. The former Australian Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, is now ripping Islam and all the imports that have come into the country over the last, you know, couple of years. 600,000, in case you're wondering. Take a listen to clip four.
Some versions of Islam are not really compatible with life in a liberal, democratic, pluralist society. Strict versions of Islam are not consistent with, for argument's sake, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, democracy. I mean, you can believe in the virgin birth and still support liberal democracy. You can believe in the real presence and still support liberal democracy. But I don't believe that you can support Sharia law, for instance, certainly not a strict form of Sharia law, and still support liberal democracy. And I do think that for too long we have run away from these issues with this facile idea that all cultures are equal, all cultures are pretty much the same, everyone's basically a good bloke, and what we've seen is that under the influence of extremist ideas and hate preaching, not everyone is a good bloke, certainly not all the time to everyone.
That's him putting it nicely. I don't believe there's anything called radical Islam. It's not a real thing. If you're reading the Quran, you follow what's in the Quran. There's over 100 verses that validate, that encourage you to carry out terror attacks just like that. Over 100. Maybe you want to debate a couple. Maybe you say, 20 of them aren't. I mean, there's still what? 80? 80 others? And to sit here and say that this is not a threat is pretty insane, folks. It's pretty insane. Polish people can't even celebrate Christmas without the threat of an ISIS terror attack. By the way, we all know who created ISIS. We don't even need it's a whole nother discussion. Oh, and we're still funding the Taliban, in case you're wondering too, by the way. Just thought I'd remind you of that. Our government's an absolute disgrace, but Australia really takes the cake these days. If you're wondering, okay, they use these Islamic terrorist attacks to justify taking firearms away from legal, responsible people who just want to defend their families in case something does happen to them. Yeah, we could all understand that. But the government continues to say, no, you can't own a firearm. You can't. I'm going to listen to clip six because, again, they're pushing for more gun control to get this, to fight back on anti-Semitism. Take a listen.
Well, we have to do all these things together. I mean, that's the truth. This is just a horrible, horrible crime. And I think taking one action would be nowhere near enough. Nowhere near enough to combat the scale of the challenges that are in front of us. So yes, we do have to do gun reform. I know you want to get your questions out, but I think it's reasonable we get an answer out. Yes, we have to do gun control. It's incredibly important that we fight anti-Semitism. And one of the things about anti-Semitism is that it begins with hate speech, then it might be a chant at a rally, then it moves online, then it becomes graffiti on a Jewish building, then it's malicious damage, then arson, and then it escalates to the kind of horrific violence that we saw yesterday. We have to combat it across the board.
Combating it across the board. No, how about you combat, you little coward, the key problem here. It's not anti-Semitism, it's Islam. Everyone's too afraid to say it, though. You can't say it. No. It's so frustrating to sit back and see. Because regardless, whether it's Jews, Christians, Hindus, even their own, if they're not radical enough, they kill them. What does that tell you? The problem isn't the firearms. Again, we see that in the UK all the time. Taking away their guns, they get knives. You can't stop the killing. Why? Well, because they don't want it to stop. They don't want it to stop. And now everyone has a problem in the West. You've allowed Islam to infest your communities. And what's happening? Well, what you see unraveling today. They're using it as validation to pull away their firearms. 6% of Australian homeowners have guns. 6%. Drastic dip from back in the mid-90s. Of course, they use that terror attack to carry out the gun grab, which they always do. That's why so many people are skeptical as to why these federal agencies never make a move prior to these terrorist attacks taking place. But again, this is the consistency here. They are all cowards. But you're supposed to rely on law enforcement. That's what Australia wants you to do now. They want to take the guns away from the people who could have prevented it. Those two brave patriots who tried their best to tackle the terrorist as he made his way out of the car. They were slaughtered. But imagine if they had a firearm. Imagine if they were able to shoot and kill him before he shot and killed them. They don't want you talking about that, though. That's why the story just came out today. Instead, police have to be the ones to carry only. Police, the same police that arrived on scene and, according to one witness, waited about 20 minutes before exchanging fire with those two Islamic terrorists. Now, when grilled upon it about that story itself, clip 5, well, they don't want to talk about it. Take a listen.
Commissioner, Bondi survivor Schmulek Scoori told the 7 Network this morning he saw 4 police officers at the scene in Bondi. None of them fired a weapon, and he was saying he didn't understand why. He's an Israeli national. To Mr. Scoori, what do you say to him that the police didn't do their job and fire back at that gunman?
I can't comment in relation to that actual report. What I'll say is that I'm incredibly proud of our police officers. They were confronted by 2 men armed with long arms. Our police at the scene were armed with pistols.
Regarding the timeline of that, can you just outline when did the first police officer arrive at the scene?
I don't have that timeline in front of me. That's obviously part of the investigation. I've been really clear. Both the critical incident investigation and the JCTT investigation will be thorough.
Yeah. So again, when you're waiting on law enforcement to do their damn job, you know what happens? They can't do it. Can't do it. Why? Because, well, a lot of people freeze up in instances like that in terror attacks. They do not want to die. And so, as you saw, we've seen the videos, we've seen the images of those officers waiting behind vehicles. They were armed. And that's why they won't confirm that for you. Instead, they'll give themselves a pat back. At least one did his job. Yeah, but it costs lives. Do you allow them to open fire on individuals laying on a beach for over, what, 20 minutes? And it gets even worse when you start reading the details. I mean, there was this one brave man who we've played the clips of his family celebrating him. It apparently gets worse because, I mean, according to the reports when police did arrive and did have the cojones to open fire, they apparently got the wrong guy. The heroic civilian who tried his best to go after those two terrorists, well, apparently he was shot, not by the terrorists, but by PD. The police, apparently. So again, time and time again, we keep seeing these stories. Don't worry, the police will come and save you. But man, oh man, is it hard to put your personal safety in the arms of people who consistently, under these types of threats, fold every single time. Yes, of course, you could say, oh, Brianna, it's tougher. Tough to sit there and criticize them. You don't know what's going on. Being in the moment is very, very horrifying. It's very, very scary. Yeah, all that true. All that true. But then if that's the case, leave their guns alone. Allow law-abiding citizens to carry. To carry. Can't do that, though. And I'll give you some brief overview here in the United States when it comes to the gun grab. Of course, they're using this to validate it. I'll just give you a quick like little summary of this. You know, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi both going out there and pushing for a gun grab. Chuck Schumer specifically going out and calling it out and saying, yeah, we need to start confiscating. Well, it is like confiscating. I'll be nice here. Saying that we in the United States need strict gun laws. Yeah, because that helped Australia, didn't it? Of course, they like to sit there and go back to, well, when they did the gun grab back in the 90s. Things really turned around for them. Yeah, no thanks, Chuck. No thanks. Also, Tim Walz. You know, the guy in Minnesota, apparently he is not doing too well, but mentally, obviously I'm referring there. But he's sitting here and pushing out propaganda saying that those in his state truly do really want in Minnesota a gun grab. Nearly 70%. Are in agreement that we need to support an assault weapons ban. Does anyone know what that means? Assault weapons ban. Nah. Oh, yeah, this is great. Thanks, guys. See, this is the thing, right? I'm no gun expert. I'm an expert at my own firearms, but I will not sit here and pretend to know what I'm doing. Unless you're running for president and you want to really attract a masculine man, masculine men to vote for you. You put this guy up there who has no idea what he's doing. Absolutely no idea. He's actually a danger to the rest of this country when you give him a firearm. But not those law-abiding citizens, of course. But he's using this poll, which of course is a garbage poll, claiming that 79% of Minnesotans really support a ban on assault weapons, like the AR-15, as they say it on their website. Propaganda. They're hoping you eat it up and pretend like the majority of Americans who are responsible gun owners support that stuff. Of course they don't. Of course they don't. And we've seen it here in this country. You try to take the guns away. Guess who gets a hold of them? Oh, you mean criminals? Yeah. Yeah. Those are the ones who are armed up and ready to go at any moment. All right. We got more to discuss in just a bit. Larry Tonin joining us in just a moment to discuss the Islamic threat that's been happening. Obviously, as many of you guys know, we can't celebrate Christmas, Hanukkah, or any real holiday because, well, we've imported Islam to our countries. Larry will be joining us in a moment to discuss all things related to that. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. We've got 60% off right now on key supplements. Yes, you heard that right. 60% off. The sea moss gummies, methylene blue, and so much more. Go straight to the website right now and take a look at the 60% off supplements that we have going on right now. Also on discount, you got to try it. The creatine gummies. I can't shut up about that. The reason why I have all the energy that I have in the morning. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you grab yourself some while supplies last over at thealexjonesstore.com. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
My pillow alone, just my pillow, not counting me, It cost them over $200 million directly related to Arctic frost, everybody. What they've done to my company, tried to just wipe them off the face of the earth because I'm out there going, we need to secure our elections. We need to secure our election. We need to get rid of the machines. We need to go to paper ballots.
You were literally terrorized and targeted, and it's in the documents.
And that thing goes so deep. It's funny, Alex. Things go so far, and then they tend to get stopped. But you guys, just know, I am never stopping. I will never stop. And number one, my number one thing is we need to secure our election platform.
Let's talk about this. People supporting what you're doing and getting the highest quality, you name it, great products. Almost all of it made in America. Then your great Giza sheets have that special cotton everybody knows comes from Egypt. But you're amazing. Right. I've got some on my king bed. Talk about the incredible products you've got at MyPillow.com /Alex. And again, I want to be clear. We are only here still hanging on, but now people support at theAlexJonesStore.com or at MyPillow.com /Alex is absolutely critical. This is now literally up to you every month whether we're going to stay in this fight. We're both workaholics. We love people. We love telling the truth. You know, these corrupt people, you know, think we're schmucks because we're not corrupt. No, we know how to be corrupt if we wanted to, dumbasses. But we like being good people. That's what builds a society.
We're the tip of the spear. This is it. You only get one shot at this. And like I said about 2 years ago, they said, Mike, would you, if you could turn back time here and go back, and if you wanted to spoke out about the election, wouldn't stand your ground, you know, look what they've destroyed and tried to destroy you. I said, I would never change a thing knowing what I know and knowing what this is critical. And that's where we're at, and it's because of all of you, because you buy our products, and that's why we're putting right now on sale our five flagship products. We have five flagship products, our biggest products of all time. For you go to MyPillow.com /Alex, and you guys are going to see we've got the Giza Dream Sheets. If you put that thing up there, these are all for Christmas presents, you guys. You can get the best Christmas presents ever, the Giza Dream Sheets, the towels, the slippers. On the MyPillow Premiums, we've sold 85 million MyPillows because they work. You save over 50% on those. And then the mattress toppers made in the USA, $149.98, as low as that, depending on the size. But we got in the premium My Towels that actually work. You save 50% there, $39.98. And here's one of my favorites, the My Slippers. Best slippers in history. They're normally $149.98, $39.98. And once they're gone, they're gone. We can't get those back. They're made with impact gel, made out of soybeans. And so you walk on them and it's like walking on a cloud. It's absolutely awesome. This patented gel that's in there. And then you have the Giza Dream Sheets. It's my favorite product. It's our president's favorite product. And as low as $29.98. And I'm going to show you one more. You guys go there. And you're getting five of these Bible pillows. These are very dear to me. They've got stories on the back. You get basically five Christmas gifts for $29.98 for all five. You got the baby Jesus, Noah's Ark, Daniel in the Lion's Den, but you get all five of them. So you get five individual gifts for under $6 a piece. Free shipping, promo code Alex on your entire order. No matter what you are, this is an exclusive free shipping on your entire order. So go to MyPillow.com /Alex, and it's a win-win-win. You guys are supporting my employee-owned company. You're getting the best products at the best prices in history. You're supporting this great, Alex's great show. I'll tell you, Alex, I can't be prouder, more proud than anyone that support your show and what you put out and help save this country more than anyone, and I mean that.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. Of course, a lot more to dive into. So buckle up. It's going to be a big one. All right, so I wanted to tell you all, we kind of went into it in detail in regards to a terror plot that was apparently taking place in Poland. Now, this is really scary given the fact that Poland has not brought in any of these Muslim migrants. But according to reports, there was someone obviously who is a Polish national who apparently was looking to carry out an ISIS-inspired terror plot on a Christmas market. Now, the Polish security services have detained a 19-year-old who is apparently a student at a Catholic university who was looking to create these explosives and carry out this plot on the Christmas market. So we're learning more and more about that. But that's all the information we have right now. Now, obviously, there's probably more there. But given the fact that Poland has completely rejected and has been retaliated against in regards to not taking in any of these Muslim migrants because the EU has not been very happy with them. They've called them all different types of names for wanting to put their people first. This is deeply, deeply concerning. So how could someone be radicalized, obviously, as someone who lives in Poland, wants to now join ISIS? I mean, that's deeply concerning. But the reality of it is this is sweeping the entire world. ISIS is a very large threat, and obviously we know how this was all created, sadly. The reality of it is everyone is now dealing with this. There is no country that has been untouched by this ongoing threat. I want to play this clip for you because Australian officials are revealing specifically the key details in all of this by the Australia terror attack on Bondi Beach by giving you the details without giving you the key details. And they're using this moment to push for stricter gun laws, given the fact that Australia has some of the strictest we've seen thus far. Take a listen to clip 16.
Our approach to this terrible crime in New South Wales is multifaceted, but I want to make it clear that our efforts to firstly work with the New South Wales police on counter-terrorism efforts continue. Secondly, fighting anti-Semitism in our community, which will not be done in a week or a month, but is a long-term important project for the government of New South Wales, working with civic leaders and the people of this state. Thirdly, gun law reform in New South Wales with legislation brought into the New South Wales Parliament to make gun laws tougher in this state. I'm determined to bring in the toughest gun laws in Australia, and they'll be significantly tightened in New South Wales.
And it's interesting, right, because they're pushing both South Wales, obviously. They're pushing throughout Australia. Here in the United States, they're pushing stricter gun laws, as if gun laws are the problem. Gun restriction needs to be buckled up. That's what they're trying to push. You know, we've talked about it, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and we've heard Tim Walz here in the States pushing for stricter gun laws. But it's not the guns that are the problem. We have people in power right now who are refusing to address the greater issue here, and that's the Islam that we've imported over these last few years now. Well, it's finally hitting its breaking point, and the people are starting to see the true threat. Joining me to discuss, a man who's traveled the world and has studied this extensively. Welcome to the show, Larry Taunton. He's the host of Ideas Have Consequences, and he is back joining us to discuss just that. Larry, it's good to have you on, of course, because I've been sitting back and watching all of these global leaders popping out and saying, oh no, the problem here is guns. Even though they've imported Islam into their countries, we're refusing to call that out. And now we're also seeing places like Poland that are dealing with this ISIS threat, even though they've rejected these Muslim migrants completely, but it's finding ways to leak in through the internet. So what do you make of the very latest? Because again, Christians celebrating Christmas at Christmas markets, Jews celebrating the first night of Hanukkah on the beach, Hindus also just enjoying vacations. I mean, we're seeing the Islam threat all around the world, and very few are willing to call it out.
Yeah, well, they waste no tragedy, do they, Brianna? They're going to use it to push their agenda along, which of course is disarming decent law-abiding people, particularly in countries that have traditionally had, you know, some element of a gun culture. So, for instance, me growing up in the American South, you know, grew up going to high school with a gun rack, you know, in the back window. Those who are my age and older will recall that, gun racks in just about every house. And yet there were no mass shootings. The real problem here is the fact that the media has plotted to amputate the ideology that's driving this from the attacks themselves. So the result is that, you know, many people come away thinking, well, gosh, you know, these people were just insane. The actions of the shooters at Bondi Beach and in Syria and elsewhere, they're not crazy people. What they're doing is completely consistent and logical given their worldview, which of course is Islamic ideology.
Yeah, and that's the part that's really concerning here, because again, we hear people continuing to defend it, also saying that there's radical Islam and Islam. Do you see a difference in this, Larry? Because I've someone who has examined the Quran. I'm actually doing a project myself right now where I'm flagging each individual page where I find a call for acts of violence, so that we could bring that straight to our audience every day. But the reality of it is we see people go out there and try to make there seem like there's a difference. There's radical Islam and Islam. Do you see a difference?
No, there's not. And let me provide just a little bit of context for that. I'm in the Islamic world, frequently. I've debated high-level Muslims on CNN International and Al Jazeera and where the real radicals meet, which is in Hyde Park, London. Now, when I had a run-in in Cairo earlier this year with highly publicized event resulting in me providing some testimony to Congressional Oversight Committee outside of the USAID compound in Cairo, one of the people who was key in me surviving that was a good Muslim friend. Now, he's a Muslim, culturally speaking. He does not take Islam particularly seriously. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that Islam, when it's practiced seriously, when you're taking the hadith seriously, you're reading it as you're supposed to as a Muslim, when you're reading the Quran and taking it seriously as you're supposed to as a Muslim, and when you're modeling your life after Muhammad, as all serious Muslims are supposed to do, the result is this. This is what you get. So they're not radical Muslims who are doing these things. They're Orthodox Muslims. And so those Muslims you know who are very nice people, they're not nice because they're Muslims. They're nice because they've chosen not to take Islam especially seriously.
Yeah, and that's the part that I have a hard time wrapping my mind around. Like you just detailed, the person who you know personally, how are they able to rationalize though? Because this is something that I've never been able to understand, and maybe you could help me understand a little bit better, Larry. You know, when you say you practice and you're Muslim, how can you sit there and practice something that calls for over 100 acts of violence to non-believers? How can you skip past all of that and then still believe in the religion itself?
You know, that's an excellent question, Brianna. I think the way they get around that in my own experience is by really just kind of suppressing the question. Mm-hmm. They really don't want to think about that. And they'll say to you, you know, I don't believe that. I don't think that's the right thing to do. I don't think that's actual Islam. And when I try to push them and say, no, it actually is, because this is what the Quran says, and this is what the Hadith says, and this is what Muhammad did. I mean, Bondi Beach, you know, opening up shooting against largely a Jewish population here on this particular beach, which of course was the goal. Muhammad slit the throats of 800 Jews in a single day and tossed their bodies into a ditch, meaning that is Islam. They're supposed to copy him, model him the same way that Christians are supposed to model Jesus Christ. But there's a big, big difference between the two. So I just think that so-called moderate Muslims, they're not really serious Muslims, or what I call cultural Muslims, meaning their parents were Muslim, the country they grew up in is Muslim, but they're not particularly into the holy writings of Islam.
Larry, would you consider, because I know, you know, in Texas, for an example, when I was sitting there at the public hearing that they held for EPIC, that's the East Plano Islamic Center they're trying to build up. They've purchased the land, but a lot of people were trying to argue and say that this is a First Amendment issue because they were bringing up Islam as a religion. Do you deem this? Do you think this is actually a religion?
Well, whether it is or not, let me just run with it and just say, okay, it is a religion. It really doesn't matter because, like, for instance, a senator from my own home state, Alabama, Tommy Tuberville, is currently stating, you know, we need to ban Sharia. I would have Senator Tuberville take it back, you know, one more step. We need to ban Islam. And the reason is because Islam is an ideology, or if you prefer, you can call it a religion, but it's one that is antithetical to our Constitution. Therefore, it's eliminated from constitutional protection because it is by definition, misogynistic. It is by definition anti-Semitic. It's by definition pedophilic. It's a religion of violence. By definition, it is an ideology of conquest and therefore doesn't deserve First Amendment protection.
Yeah, and I think that's key here, too. And, you know, so we're on the topic of anti-Semitism. I think it's interesting to play this clip, clip 14, I want to play for you, because this is the reaction of the Australian Prime Minister after the Bondi Beach massacre, the terror attack that took place that day. Take a listen.
Just briefly, to be clear, your priority from National Cabinet in relation to the gun laws, what is the number one priority for you?
I would put them all together, mm-hmm. making sure that they operate effectively and that they're kept up to date and that they're updated for the changing threat. Mm. We live in a more dangerous world in 2025. The threat of anti-Semitism, as we have seen, is very real. Threats of other occurrences, such as the rise in the far right, which has also been identified, of course, by Mike Burgess, is also a threat as well.
It's interesting to hear him just say anti-Semitism and then also blame those on the far right. I don't see the connection here, Larry, do you?
No, absolutely not, and there's none. But it comes back to where we began, and that is they're not going to let this tragedy go to waste. They're going to use it to push an ideology that they know they're lying when they say these kinds of things. And by the way, the statistics show that quite frequently in these kinds of shooting events, now it sounds like the perpetrators at Bondi Beach, they had weapons legally. They were members of gun clubs and these kinds of things. But let's just take something like let's say the Charlie Hebdo, you know, massacre, again, perpetrated by Muslims in Paris. What did they use? They used 3 fully automatic rifles. They used 10 smoke grenades. They used Molotov cocktails, rocket launchers, sticks of dynamite, grenades, all of which are illegal. So the laws here aren't going to do anything but prevent law-abiding citizens from having weapons to defend themselves. And that's critical in this. 2A exists here in the United States for a reason. And every other freedom we have hangs on that one, Second Amendment right there.
Yeah. And it's a very important one. And I also wanted to get your take on the devastating news in Syria. You know, we spoke about this at length yesterday, but we obviously have 3 Americans who are killed in Syria, 2 of them being soldiers, National Guardsmen as well. As many of our audience knows, we detailed that yesterday for everyone. But specifically, a lot of Americans are wondering, why the heck are we still in Syria? Your reaction to the terror attack, the ISIS terror attack that took place, because we're hearing from the Pentagon, and I've asked follow-up questions to get more information about this, but the individual who carried out this heinous crime is someone who apparently is ISIS, is someone who's being described as a lone shooter, but also, according to several reports not confirmed by our Pentagon, this individual was somebody who was also fighting with the Syrian forces. So what do you make of what took place over the weekend in Syria?
Well, didn't Biden tell us that ISIS was eliminated? I mean, they were done. They were just not an issue. And yet the shooting at Bondi Beach, it's an ISIS connection. And then we have this shooting in Syria, another ISIS connection. I lived in the south of France for a few years and in a small French village, Brianna. And in this French village, as in every French village, and we're talking very small, there was an Islamic study center. And the French were shocked when in 2015, the people of this village are watching French television and they see a blue-eyed, blonde-headed kid from their town on TV. He is in Syria and he is burning his passport and has joined ISIS. Mm. So these kinds of things, you know, this has been going on for quite a while. And why are these things happening? Well, in large part, you know, I would trace it back to, dare I say, suppression of belief in God. And you end up with all of these kids who are directionless. They have no purpose in life. And then here comes Islam offering them something, a real mission, and one that appeals to boys, in part because Islam is a religion created by men for men to fulfill every carnal desire. You want to rape women? You can in Islam. Allah approves. You want to kill people? We do that. God allows you to do that. You want to pillage and destroy? ISIS is for you. Islam is for you. That's the religion that we're talking about. And that's why it has a lot of appeal, not just in the Middle East, but also in the increasingly in the Western world.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's deeply concerning. And speaking of that, you know, here in the United States, we are trying to fight off the illegals that have come into the country. I know the Trump administration has made that a top priority for them. And we just got this clip moments ago, and I actually wanted to play it for you, Larry, because in clip 17, we're seeing chaos amongst the Somalian population as federal agents are trying to make their way into the community. Let's take a look. Now, we'll let this play out for a little bit longer, but if you're listening audio only and you don't see the visual here, they are actually chasing those federal agents who are obviously just trying to do their job. But, Larry, we talk about it all the time. This is an ongoing issue for our federal agents who are trying to take some of the worst off the streets these days. And, you know, I've asked DHS specifically about a recent report that came out that they're only focused on those with violent priors, the worst of the worst, as they always put it. And they wouldn't give me 100% confirmation, just saying that they've always focused on just that. But the polling numbers seem to be kind of showing that the American people only want violent illegal aliens tossed out of the country, that they don't really have a stomach for just those who are law. I mean, they're not even law abiding. They're criminals, too. But I mean, those who are not violent, they don't want to see them deported. What do you make of this footage that just came out moments ago?
Well, I would say in this instance, ICE, they're heroes.
Yeah.
But you're also getting a picture here of what Islam actually is. Where are all the Muslim leaders around the world stepping up to offer aid and to condemn the violence from these attacks? Where are they? Well, of course, they don't actually exist. And what we're seeing here is, you know, the focus on simply those who are, quote unquote, have violent priors. The reality is every Muslim in this video has the potential to be that. And that is because they're often, I've had Muslims tell me this. In fact, a Syrian who's currently living under fatwa, meaning a death sentence because he became a Christian. But I recall him telling me in a secret meeting, he couldn't meet anywhere publicly, in a secret meeting telling me that the way Muslims are radicalized, that is, moderates become radical, as he said, we're shamed and being told that we're not good Muslims and that Allah is displeased with us and we face eternity in hell. And this serves to radicalize them. That's what happens. And at the most basic level, Brianna, I would put it like this: to let Islam into our country, indeed into any country that hopes to remain free, it's like letting the orcs into the Shire.
Yeah, no, it truly, truly is, Larry, and you're spot on with that. We hope that there's enough time where we could pull this back and we could try to fix these issues. I know our federal agencies are trying, DHS specifically, I'll give them credit. They are very much trying and focused on doing just that. But we will sit back and watch. Larry Taunton, thank you for joining me, of course, folks. Give him a follow on X. Larry Taunton is where you could find him at. He's also the host of Ideas Have Consequences. I like that name. Larry, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time as always.
Always delighted to be with you, Brianna. Take care.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, my friend. Folks, I just got another update in regards to the Clintons, and I'm going to bring this to you right now. It looks like the House Oversight Committee Chairman, Mr. James Comer, well, he's being very, very kind, apparently. He has now pushed back the deposition dates for both Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton, warning that they refuse to testify regarding the investigation into Jeffrey Epstein. This will immediately trigger contempt of Congress proceedings. And I'm sure both Bill and Hillary will take this threat very seriously. I think they will. Probably not. They never do. They understand that this DOJ is a conglomerate of cowards, and they will never, never go to prison because, well, everyone fears the consequences of going after these two you see here. So James Comer issuing another threat, probably another aggressive letter. We hope there's some action to follow on that one, but I won't sell you a dream. I'll just spit the truth to you. It's more that we're going to be diving into. Specifically, though, I'll get to this into the next hour. If you don't follow me on X, I'll take a second to brag, but you're kind of missing out. Yesterday, we got the very first update. I brought it to you first before anyone else. Regarding Mark Kelly, I'll give you that update in just a few moments. But again, if you missed my tweet, you missed out. The corporate media followed after I released the details, and we'll give it to you next. We'll also be discussing President Trump's executive order that he's just signed declaring that fentanyl is a weapon of mass destruction. We'll see what that means. Obviously, as you guys know, he has declared a war on the drugs that are being brought into this country with thousands of Americans being killed. And he has made this a top priority. So I'll bring you the latest on that. Plus, President Trump suing BBC for a whopping chunk of change. Got that coming up next. It's a big one. It's a big one. We'll also show you the edited footage to kind of help you understand specifically as to where he's going with all of this. I want to play clip 15 for you, though, because yesterday Michelle Obama spoke about Rob Reiner. As many of you guys know, Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle were apparently were murdered by their son who struggled with addiction issues. And it's devastating to see, because I think most Americans understand what it's like to have someone that you love dearly struggle with addiction. And the way that they were both killed was absolutely just heartbreaking, egregious. I can't even think the words to describe it. Obviously, President Trump, I spoke out against it. I know many others did as well, putting out not only just a post on Truth Social, but also giving us a soundbite that I won't even replay because I thought it was completely disgusting. We should always be as humane, I guess would be the term. I mean, we should not be going after somebody who was just murdered, brutally murdered by his own son. Had his throat slit. I mean, there's no reason to bring politics into this. We are all human beings. We could agree to disagree. We could be respectful of one another. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. That's what my mom's always told me. But unfortunately, that's not the case for the president, who's being ill-advised on that front. But Michelle Obama yesterday spoke out and kind of made a little jab at President Trump. Take a listen.
To bring up, I know you and your husband were friends with Rob and Michelle Reiner, and I'm very sorry for your loss.
Oh, my God.
How long have you known the Reiners?
We've known them for many, many years, and we were supposed to be seeing them that night, last night. And we got the news. And let me just say this, unlike some people, Rob and Michelle Reiner are some of the most decent, courageous people you ever want to know. They're not deranged or crazed. What they have always been are passionate people in a time when there's not a lot of courage going on. They were the kind of people who were ready to put their actions behind what they cared about. And they cared about their family, and they cared about this country, and they cared about fairness and equity. And that is the truth. I do know them.
Michelle Obama
announcing that they were expected to have dinner the night before, which is news to the world, of course. It's just absolutely devastating to see. And it's disappointing to see the president speak so ill upon someone who is just brutally murdered, of course. All right, we got more kicking off in the third hour of the show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be taking your calls as well. So if you'd like to chat, give us a call, 877-789-2539. We'll talk in a bit.
Quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done, like, really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the methylene blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now, like, my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But, yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, it's a lot of help, too. And I've read online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too. And so finding something that works is really important. And not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well. American Journal. We're getting ready to kick off the third hour of the program with a lot more digging to do. In just a bit, I'll bring you the report that I brought to you first yesterday. If you follow me on X, you saw it first. For the mainstream media caught on to it, it's at Brianna Morello. If you're not doing so already, make sure you give me a follow. But that's where we released the update regarding Mark Kelly. As many of you guys know, I'm now credentialed to cover the Pentagon. And so we've been doing a lot of reporting on what's going on inside the Pentagon. And that's where I break it. Over on X, make sure you give me a follow. We'll be diving into that in just a little bit. We'll also be talking about the Trump executive orders in regards to fentanyl. Well, obviously, he signed an executive order yesterday. I'll break down that report as well. Plus, he's suing BBC, and rightfully so. BBC decided to very obviously commit defamation. I guess maybe because they thought they were overseas, even though they have shops here in the U.S., that they weren't going to get caught up in any of this. But now they're being sued, and rightfully so. People like this who commit these types of horrific, intentional, I keep using the word horrific, I gotta find another word, gotta crack open a thesaurus, but they are just scumbags, BBC, so we're gonna be going over that lawsuit as well, plus, Ilhan Omar, after Islamic terrorist threats, says that we should be focused on white men, we should be monitoring them. I've got a little fact for y'all, I'll break it down for you in a bit as well. In regards to Ilhan Omar, because she likes to monitor white men, just the married ones and the rich ones. And then she pries them away from their families, of course. In case you didn't know that story, I'll break it down for you as well, because those were the accusations that were made in court about the congresswoman from Somalia. We'll also be talking about Kamala Harris, because she's saying that there are people telling her that she is the most qualified person ever to run for president. And if you're wondering who told her that, you're welcome. I did. We'll also be digging into that in a little bit. We're also taking your calls as well. So if you haven't done so already, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We're focused on the stories we've covered thus far, of course, because there's a lot going on that we want to make sure we touch. We want to make sure we talk about, of course. So we will keep it to the subject matters as of today's show. We're following, obviously, a lot of stories for you guys all right now. So we got more to discuss in just a bit. Also, it looks like there's just more proof. We'll get into this Clinton one right now since we got the time. It looks like Senator Chuck Grassley has released more documents that apparently come from a whistleblower who alleged earlier this week that the DOJ under, obviously, the I guess this would be the Biden regime. They were covering up for the Clinton Foundation. Interesting enough, folks, this is the details that have now resurfaced. And they, of course, correspond with what AG Pambani has put out so far. But the DOJ was not interested in going after the two, according to the whistleblower, 2 months prior to the investigation launching in 2016. So sorry about that. That would be Obama. This was prior to Obama, I believe. Dr. Jill McCabe received over $675,000, what they're alleging, of course, from a PAC that's controlled by an individual who is a board member of the Clinton Foundation. Again, it's just more like, hey, here's more corruption. Here you go. They throw these things out there and they hope that you think that they're doing their jobs. I mean, how many times do we have to get these little pieces of information that allege crimes that were being committed that these folks don't even want to talk about? They don't want you to demand charges, criminal charges, of course. It's becoming infuriating. But that's how we open the show. We open the show about me screaming about how incompetence, it's not even incompetency, that lets them off nicely, how the DOJ is intentionally not doing its job, which is to prosecute those who have committed treason. Because everyone's a bunch of cowards. Everyone's a bunch of cowards. And that's how we kick off today's show. I've been fired up all morning, folks, just going through all of this. It's just infuriating to sit here and see all the evidence coming about, how the DOJ is just handing it over to Congress as if they are not the top prosecutors in this country. That's what's happening in this country right now. All right, folks, in the meantime, we're doing 60% off some of your favorite supplements right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over to the shop. Methylene Blue, as many of you guys know, is on discount as well. Sea Moss Gummies. Go grab them over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. Shilajit Gummies. I was trying to think about how I was going to pronounce that. Also on sale right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. Go there.
If you ask Grok, or if you ask a sports nutritionist, or if you ask the nutritionists on the Olympic teams, they will tell you that creatine is absolutely a must. TheAlexJonesStore.com already has the very best creatine you can get on the market. But now we're introducing this, and I am extremely excited. Let me introduce you to this bad boy that comes in two delicious flavors. That is the recommended daily allowance of the highest quality type of creatine. Right there, concentrated, the very best. We get it from the top lab in the country, the highest rated. 5 milligrams of this a day. Bottom line, this is tasty, it's delicious, it's good for you, it helps children, it helps middle-aged people, and it really helps old people. If you're not taking creatine, you're crazy, and we've got the best.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, we're back on The American Journal, third hour of the program. Buckle up. Got a lot of stories to catch you up on, of course, and we're taking your calls in the third hour as well. So if you'd like to join the show and talk about a story we've covered thus far, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. I'm going to do my very best to go down the caller list, of course. I know yesterday we got interrupted by breaking news, but I want to make sure we get to everyone on the calls. So again, 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to call. All right. Again, if you're not following me on X, you're really missing out. And I'm not just saying that because I'm full of myself. I'm saying that because constantly I am the one who is breaking news before anyone else is breaking the news. As many of you probably saw yesterday, I put out a tweet in regards to the Pentagon, which I do cover now. And it was an interesting one. I did get an alert yesterday from an official over at the Pentagon that they were looking to escalate the Mark Kelly investigation. Now, it looks like they've escalated it to it's going to be like, trying to think of the term that was used when I asked them to detail specifically what it's going to be. It's going to be an escalation of the investigation that was currently going on. And, it's a big one. It's a big one. Let me bring up my tweet. So interesting enough, folks, yesterday this announcement coming out saying exactly that they are going to be escalating it. This was originally something that started off at the general counsel's office and has since been escalated to the captain, Mark Kelly. Now, again, I know a lot of people were skeptical because he's retired, so they don't understand how this is being elevated, given the fact that he's retired. But again, they can still do it. And it's going officially to the command investigation. So these are very serious allegations of misconducts. I know a lot of people were commenting on this saying yesterday, oh, great, another investigation. But the good news here is when I was at the Pentagon, it seemed as if they were very serious about going after this. So this seems to be one of their top priorities. They weren't shying away from the subject matter at all. They were very much focused on going after Kelly, but there are stages to go through it all. They were very infuriated with what Kelly did, obviously, and they're looking to go after him for just that. And they're not shying away from that. That was the good news. As we continuously went there and grilled them on the subject matter, They were specifically, they were very much in line with doing this properly, doing this correctly, and making sure that Mark Kelly was held accountable. It's really the only one who they're able to go after right now is what they described for putting out that video, as many of you guys know, of them telling those in the military to refuse orders if they deem them to be illegal, which obviously is something that is deeply, deeply concerning because, again, we've seen the politics in all of this. I mean, who the heck does Mark Kelly think he is? So we're going to follow this as it develops, but of course now they are escalating the issue now. Mark Kelly responded to it saying he's looking forward to defending himself, calling it an abuse of their power. So we're going to keep following that story as it develops. But again, it seems to be gaining some momentum here. We'll just go with that. I won't sell you a dream, but I will say that those over at the Pentagon were very serious when I was there just days ago on making sure that this was a top priority. And that top priority being holding Mark Kelly accountable for participating in that video. Yesterday, President Trump signed an executive order going, and it's about fentanyl specifically, and the key chemicals that are used to make up fentanyl. Now, he's labeling it as weapon of mass destruction. Now, again, this has a lot to do with the president's declaration of war on the countries that are flooding our country with fentanyl. And again, it also details how the fentanyl is largely sourced from China, the chemicals, the components. Now, what does this mean? It probably means that it's going to help them with going after those who are manufacturing and bringing into our country. As many of you guys know, they are doing the airstrikes. They just put up another video. I believe it was yesterday or this morning. I believe I did see it this morning. So I'll tell you that. But they have carried out these extensive strikes, killing over 80 people on these vessels. So they try to bring fentanyl allegedly into our country. And they're not letting up anytime soon. They're not letting in anytime soon. So we'll keep watching that as it develops. This is kind of good news, folks. BBC has just been slapped with a $10 billion defamation lawsuit. That's correct. The British Broadcasting Corporation has been slapped with this lawsuit thanks to the fact that they do business here in the United States. That's how Trump was able to land this lawsuit. Now, of course, I'm sure they're going to try to fight back. That is $10 billion. That'll probably bankrupt them. But folks, he's ticked off, and rightfully so. We're going to play clip 8 for you because BBC thought it was appropriate to air edited video, which was edited video from his 2021 January 6th speech. Take a listen.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and I'll be there with you, and we fight. We fight like hell. We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women.
Ah, the fight part, I guess, didn't fit the narrative. See, here's the problem with this. Now, as many of you guys know, the executive, one of the biggest executives resigned after, was called out for all of this, and BBC obviously putting out a statement saying, yeah, we did F up, but enough is enough. Enough is enough. You know, these outlets have consistently, and they're propagandists for the government, obviously, but they keep getting away with this nonsense. They've consistently gotten away with this nonsense, and President Trump rightfully so going after them. Why are you trying to demonize the president? Well, obviously, it goes on to carry on what they've been pushing for a very long time now, and that President Trump was inciting violence on January 6th when we all know he wasn't. All you have to do is look at the raw footage from that day, and you know he wasn't doing that. But if you were someone who is a biased, horrible person, you would put a video out like that and promote it as if it's factually correct. And so BBC being sued for, at first I thought it was $5 billion, but why not just double it? And it looks like the lawsuit was filed for $10 billion. Now, again, we'll see how this all plays out. They are obviously British, but they do conduct business and do have offices here in the United States. So we'll see how that legal challenge plays out. I look forward to seeing what they do just with that alone. As we continue to also talk about the Islamic threat here on the homeland, Ilhan Omar, who's an apologist for these jihadists, continues to go out there and pretend like there's nothing wrong here, which she's asked a question about, as the mainstream media puts it, radical Islam, which we all know I disagree with personally. But as they continue to push that out there, they're going through a lot of lies. And she, for some reason, has to dodge that bullet, right? So what she's sitting here and talking about, and she has to address Islamic terrorists, she decides to point the finger at white men. White men. Take a listen to clip 9 and how that goes for her.
A lot of conservatives in particular would say that the rise in Islamophobia is a result not of hate, but a fear, a legitimate fear, they say, of quote-unquote jihadist terrorism, whether it's Fort Hood or San Bernardino or the recent truck attack in New York. What do you say to them?
I would say our country should be more fearful of white men across our country, because they are actually causing most of the deaths within this country. And so if fear was the driving force of policies to keep America safe, Americans safe inside of this country, we should be profiling, monitoring, and creating policies to fight the radicalization of white men.
Ah, of course, she says it on a very cozy, terrorist-funded network, allegedly. It's like home for her, of course. You see, Ilhan Omar really does enjoy monitoring white men, specifically married white men. We know this because she's been accused of this. In court, she's been accused of going after her now husband, the third one I'm referring to here. These accusations have been pushed, and they've been made public in court. You know, the guy she's married to now, he was previously married. And in court, the ex-wife actually went after Ilhan Omar, specifically saying that, yeah, we were married and everything was fine. And she actually pleaded and begged for her husband to come back so she could keep her family together. Unfortunately, though, that was not the case. That did not happen. And they did get a divorce, and he's been remarried. He's remarried. Now, again, I'm sure Ilhan Omar would deny these allegations she's facing. But again, it just seems like it's a messy ride for Ilhan Omar. You see, these people love to sit here and drum up the threats of white men throughout our country. But if white men were the greatest threat, then why the heck are you here? Ah, it's a million-dollar question. You see, you asked to come here. You weren't born here. You weren't captured and brought here. You and the rest of your family decided to, according to reports, manipulate the system and come here. Now, did you come here because you love this country? Or did you come here because you hate it and you want to be a part of the destruction? Well, I continue to ask if any of those claims are being investigated by immigration services. And I'll let you know when I hear back. Because, folks, this is an issue we're going to keep following up on, keep circling back on. Because Ilhan Omar is accused of not only lying and marrying her brother, but there's new accusations, we're going to dive into it tomorrow, about how she's accused now of possibly not representing her birth year properly either. Ah, the evidence is overwhelming. Will something happen? Not likely. Not likely. But I'll keep asking the difficult questions that nobody seems to want to answer, of course. All right, Kamala Harris in clip 10 is coming out and saying that she's the most qualified candidate to ever run for president, according to people that she's spoken to, and she's actually considering running again. Take a listen.
That is and a decent, but resume, but go ahead.
But there, well, some people have actually said I was the most qualified candidate ever to run for president.
I like the some people say, very nice, but go ahead.
I'm just speaking fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, girl. Speak that fact. Here's the thing. Some people, she's referring to me, I've actually told her that she was qualified to run again and again and again and again. I would love to see Kamala Harris run in 2028, and you guys could thank me for that. Folks, we're going to flood her with motivational quotes as to why she should run. We want Kamala Harris to break that glass ceiling. This is my service to this great country. I'm going to keep encouraging it. I'm going to keep encouraging it. Because Republicans, they're pretty spineless. They don't really have much of a plan. But if I can encourage that incompetent woman to make another run for the White House, well, you could all thank me later, of course. All right, folks, we're going to be taking your calls. So let's dive into some right now, because I see we have a long list. And yesterday, we didn't have enough time to get to everyone. So let's kick things off with the first one, Bart in Georgia. Bart, welcome to the show.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, I want to plug my channel,
please go to Bart Fine on BitChute and Rumble and even on ScrewTube. But now I want to get to this Islamic offensive. It's obvious to me this is what's going on. And the way I see it, if we have some politicians with some balls in Texas and Minnesota, there are probably noise ordinances like late at night, like early in the morning. Like, I don't want to hear any kind of noise at 5 o'clock in the morning. So slap fines on these mosques, and when heavy fines, and then when they fail to pay the fines, seize the mosque and turn it into a church. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Bart. No, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I know in Minnesota that they just do it and no one's allowed to say anything. They even compare it to church bells, which is obviously not authentic at all or even a legitimate argument there. So, yeah, it doesn't really seem to make much sense for me. I'll tell you that much. But in Texas, yeah, I mean, I'd like to see all of them do that. It's so crazy. It's a sign of dominance, too. It's not even like something they practice in their own countries. They want to assert their dominance, and so they do things like that. Even in New York City, when I lived in New York City, you'd see the cab drivers just kind of toss their cabs to the side of the road so they could get down and pray. Again, they don't do that in their country. They don't quickly pull over into an illegal spot and pray. It's to assert dominance in this country, and that's what they're doing all across the country. So, Bart, thank you for calling in. Of course, Rubber Duck in Ohio, welcome to the show.
Yeah, so you know the guy with the white bandage that had blood all over his face, the survivor from the Australia attack?
We're going to have to pull that one up because I'm not – is that the one – I think our controllers are trying to pull up the image as quickly as they can, but.
Well, so there's a picture of him. He survived the October 7th attack too, but there's also pictures of him being painted up by makeup artists beforehand. So they're crisis actors, dude. It's a false flag. And I'm not saying that all Jews, whatever, but Israel does seem to be the deepest well of evil that we've ever known, come to know, you know, and. Will you please get away from Laura Loomer, please?
Well, here's my thing. I think you might be referring to an AI-generated photo because we're trying to find it right now, and I believe it was debunked as AI-generated.
In one of the Israel, Jimmy Dore or Max Blumenthal. You should check with Max Blumenthal, for real. He knows. In 2016, some kid in Israel, when Trump first came into office, some kid in Israel called in like 2,000 bomb threats over here in America to drum up anti-Semitism. I mean, this stuff is well documented, man. It's all over the place. It's like, I mean, I'm sorry.
So Rubber Duck, you don't, and I know that's the name you went by when you called into the show. You don't think that Islam is the threat that we're making it seem to be. You think that Israel is behind all of this.
I'm not trying to take anything away from Islam because I know it is a threat. You are right. This is a multiple front attack, man. This is not just one thing. And as far as I'm concerned, the censorship is coming from the Zionists, okay, which are Jews, because they own everything. There's no other way to get around that. They, you know, so it's all the same side of, or it's both sides of one coin.
Is this the?
You know what I mean?
I don't know if you're watching right now, but we have a video up right now. Is this what you were referring to?
I see a
guy with a white. He's badged up and he's got what appears to be blood.
He's got blood all over his face.
Yeah, I think is this the AI generated one, guys?
There's one of him in Israel being painted up.
Yeah, well, we'll look into this because I haven't had a second to look into this video. So,
yeah, well, he's a survivor from the October 7th attack, and I'm sorry, but you just can't. The odds of that, you would have better odds of being struck by lightning in your asshole four times a day for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? Like, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, well, they're also saying that there was a Holocaust survivor that was killed on Bondi Beach as well.
Yeah, I'm not trying to take away from any of that, man. I'm just saying it's a multi-pronged attack. It's not just Islam. It's Zionist. Look, read the protocols of the Elders of Zion. That's their little plan to take over the world. Who else is trying to take over the world? Satanists. I don't think I'm doing mental gymnastics to equate the two.
All right. Well, thank you for calling into the show. We appreciate your input and your opinion on that front. Let's turn to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you, my friend?
Ilhan Omar, after the attacks, I'm surprised she didn't say some people did something. And quick on Michelle Obama, it's Democrat policies make things inequitable. It's Trump. That's why he got historical minority votes and won the Latino vote, because he did prison reform. He did school choice and on, whereas Obama overruled federal school choice. He pushed but his daughters go to the elite. So they make things inequitable. They push subprime loans and on. But I want to say with Omar, her interviews are so ridiculous, like you said, the fake news. First, she looked like she's all smiley when she's talking about these killings, and she never reprimanded or said, well, this isn't real Islam. She just talked about gun control, which they have already in Australia. And also, last week she said not letting Somalis is like when the Jews were not let in, you know, during the World War II. But wait a minute, which was wrong. You are a Nazi. She's an Islamo-Nazi, and they hate Jews, and she's a known anti-Semite. So she is such a hypocrite. The Nazis don't want to help the Jews. So, and also the Jews didn't ruin countries when they got their own country. It's affluent and successful, the most successful in the Middle East. Somalis ruined Somali. So who are they fleeing from? Themselves? So the hypocrisy, which you keep pointing out in the mainstream news. But I think even with the mainstream, they're starting to see how ridiculous that and biased she is and that it's a sinking ship. But thanks for taking the call. And real quick, I always wonder, why isn't she appreciative that she's a refugee where they love America? But she doesn't. But the thing is, InfoWars did the research, and you guys pointed out that her parents were the communist leaders. So she's not a refugee. She was the oppressor, just like Kamala Harris. Her relatives were the slavers, her ancestors, not slaves. So great job, InfoWars. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Andrew, thank you for calling. We appreciate your input, of course, on that front. Folks, we're going to be taking your calls, too, into the next portion of the show as well. So if you'd like to join the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. If I say it any faster, you probably won't understand, but it's 877-789-2539. Let's turn to John in Oklahoma City. John, welcome to the show. We got about 2 minutes, so feel free. Take it away.
No problem. I'm an old sergeant for the U.S. Air Force. My job in the military was to maintain the eyes and ears of the U.S. government. I fixed the radar and the identification friend and foe systems that interrogate friendly and enemy aircraft. Now, with that being said, I went to school with the children of the adults in Saudi Arabia at that time. We were friendly with them. I know a little bit about Islam. They're allowed to lie three different ways. One is in order to further the jihad. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to know about that, you can't ask Grok, can Islam lie? You have to ask AI, what three times are Islam allowed to lie? And it will give you the proper answer. Mm-hmm. At any rate, I was in Oklahoma City, and a woman was beheaded at a local food-producing company here by a Muslim man, and Obama did not send regards or anything to the victims, but he sent people to the mosque to help them through the ordeal. What you have to realize is this isn't an accident. These things have been planned. If somebody wants to look me up, just go to X and type in Mark of the Beast. I will be the number one person on X dealing with that. Just Mark of the Beast search engine on X, and you'll locate me. I've got dozens and dozens of deep, intense articles on this. At any rate, you're doing a great job, and keep busting the wall down on these people.
Thank you. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. You are greatly appreciative for calling to the show today, and thank you for that. Folks, we're going to be taking your calls, of course, into the next segment as well. You know, we're up against the hard commercial break, so before we go down and start taking other callers, I will just have to cut it off there, and we'll take you in about, let's say, about 5 minutes. So if you haven't done so already and you want to join the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. It's the opportunity to share your opinion, of course. And if there's something on a story that we've covered and you wanted to dig into that a little bit deeper, feel free to do just that. If you're on hold, stay put. We're going to you in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. We have the 60% off Ultimate Christmas Sale happening right now. Now, the key part about this is some of your favorite, our top sellers and supplements are on sale right now, 60% off. Things like Methylene Blue, CMOS gummies, and the Shelot, I was just pronouncing it, and we just said I was going to get it right before I did it, and here we go again. She legit gummies, thanks guys, they got my back over there, are on sale, 60% off. 60% off right now for a couple of hours more. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Also, if you haven't tried it yet, I highly recommend it. The creatine gummies, They're also available for a discount right now. We just launched those a couple of weeks ago, and I keep bragging about it, but the blue raspberry is my personal favorite. It tastes just like candy, and it's great for both your mental health. If you're someone who works out constantly and you don't like the muscle pain, the sores, I should say, this will definitely help you. So head on over to the shop. Get yourself some Ultimate Creatine Gummies. It's great for women. No one tells us about this. I started taking it. It's been a game changer. Over at thealexjonesstore.com.
I have not yet begun to fight. That's what the founder of the U.S. Navy, John Paul Jones, said back in 1779. And that's exactly where we are right now. You see this bad boy right here? That is a limited edition original InfoWars poster. We got about 1,000 that are unsigned, 500 that are signed, and that's it. And it is the final Hail Mary to keep InfoWars on the air. We've sold out of almost every product at InfoWarsStore.com. Via the bankruptcy, they won't let us order new products, but we were able to get this produced. This is an emergency fundraiser. It's myself, actual screenshot from the show, with a 357 Magnum aimed at the globalist, the truth gun, with John Paul Jones, the founder of the U.S. Navy, saying, I have not yet begun to fight. And 1997 to 2026, how long InfoWars survived. Hopefully we go past that with my signature. This is a limited edition poster, signed or unsigned. It goes to keep us on the air. They're going to have an auction. They're saying in January. They already had a federal auction that was rigged and fake, and the judge shut it down. This is a state auction. Good guys are going to try to buy InfoWars. We'll stay on air as InfoWars if they're successful. If they're not, we move on to the Alex Jones Network. But regardless, if we don't have funds coming in December and January, there won't be money for payroll. There won't be money for the bandwidth or the servers or the satellites. So it's absolutely essential you get this. And if we get shut down, you have a memento of the final resistance at InfoWars that is so historic to hang on your wall. And there's not just this poster. We've made 1,000 of these two other posters that I designed as well. One says, Defend the West, 1997, 2026, InfoWars, with the archetypal Knight of the West standing against the globalist. There's another, Make No Peace with Evil, with another Knight of the Crusades standing with the cross in his hand against the globalist tyranny. Both are powerful posters as well. These are limited edition. You can get signed copies if you really want to support us, or just get the regular posters as well if you want to support us. But all three of these posters are limited edition, right now exclusively available at InfoWarsStore.com. This is historic. We've come so far together. The deep state spent hundreds of millions of dollars trying to shut us down. We still got a chance to win, but if we don't have the funds coming in December and January, we will shut down. So I want to thank you all for your past support. I want to encourage you now to go to InfoWarsStore.com, where everything else is sold out and there's no more funds to buy more stuff to keep us on the air. And just by attrition, they will win and shut us down by not having money for payroll if you don't decide to bail out this organization that has had incredible results against the tyrants and has stood for you and your family and all of us collectively. So take action now and get the iconic limited edition I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones, Alex Jones poster, and Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West posters, limited edition, and know historically you stood with the tip of the spear at the key part of this fight, and we never gave up and we never surrendered, and we stood and fought on our feet instead of groveling on our knees as slaves. Thank you so much. I've fired the bat signal. Thank you for all your past support, but now is the critical time to take action at InfoWarsStore.com for these three limited edition iconic posters. The ball's in your court. Take action now at InfoWarsStore.com. It's now up to you.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal, picking up third hour. Final lap of the show by taking your calls, of course. A lot of callers on hold, so I'm going to make sure we get to all of those. We're going to try to, at least. But I just saw something on X they wanted to bring to your attention. It has to do with our FBI. Now, if you think that they're competent, let me just reassure you that apparently they're not. I say that, of course, with a sarcastic tone, because take a look at this post. They are looking for, and we brought you the story yesterday, they're looking for a suspect involved in the acid attack in Georgia. Now, what we detailed for you yesterday was a woman was walking in Savannah, Georgia, at a park where an individual threw a liquid substance over her head, and she doesn't know why this happened, but it was acid, and it burned through her clothes, her skin, and she's been hospitalized. It's absolutely devastating. This woman seemed like a very kind-hearted person, someone who is known to be active at her church. She has done plenty of charitable work as well. So our hearts go out to her, but they're saying that they're trying to find a suspect. Now, if you're truly trying to find a suspect and you're the FBI, why wouldn't you show the image of the suspect rather than a map of what the park looks like? As you can see on your screen, if you're audio only, let me detail what you're looking at right now or what you would be looking at right now. They have the seeking information big tab. It says acid attack, Georgia, unknown suspect, Savannah, Georgia, the date it happened on. But the suspect's not there. We showed you yesterday what local PD put out as the suspect. The suspect appears to be a minority, a male, possibly black. Again, you kind of tell he does look black. But again, they don't want you to see the images. The FBI is serious about trying to find someone who poured acid on a young woman who was simply taking a stroll through the park. Why wouldn't you show the suspect? One of the many questions we have for this FBI. Oh, there you go. Yeah, I'd say he looks black from that. But the FBI putting out $5,000 if you could find the guy for them without putting the guy's face. So that's who they're accusing of being the suspect. But I guess, folks, we're supposed to believe that this is a new FBI and that truly is the suspect that they're looking for. Well, I guess because he's black, they're just not going to show you his face. All right, let's take some calls right now. Let's go to Lance in Wisconsin. Lance, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. Great talking to a gal with common sense.
I try.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
They, it seems that that murder of Rob and his wife, terrible thing, really. And we know that, you know, Rob was, he had his liberal ways about him, but, you know, as a liberal, certainly did not deserve what happened to him and his wife. But, you know, his kid, little Saint Nick, what a goonball. I mean, this guy, yeah, okay, so he was an addict. He was addicted, and he went through rehabs, I don't know, 17, 18 of those and everything. And this guy was whacked out, obviously. Kind of makes you wonder what was flowing through his veins. In fact, they probably should have tapped into him when he got arrested just to see what was flowing through his veins. Maybe there was fentanyl in there. Not fentanyl. Everybody pronounces it fentanyl. I pronounce it fentanyl because that's the way it's spelled and I believe pronounced. But anyways, yeah. And of course, Trump, I guess, designated that now as a weapon of mass destruction. How interesting that is.
Yeah.
But anyways, you know, it happened to one of theirs on the left, on the liberal side. I'm a conservative, always have been. And his the horrible thing that happened to him, obviously, you know, is dominating the news on the left networks. And we all know who the left networks are. And it's like, well, y'all, you know, now it's happened to you folks, whether it's Hollywood or, you know, a left-leaning people, all this. But, hey, you know, it happened to us in a lot of major ways on our side. The president, they, good Lord, they try to take out. From Scalise, from, you know, I could see them going on. Charlie Kirk, I go on and on and on. Now it's one of theirs. And I don't want to say it this way, but I'm going to say it this way. How does it feel? You son of a gun, how does it feel? Now think about it. So, yeah, I mean, it shouldn't have happened to Rob, you know, and his wife, certainly. Nick, whatever. We're going to get more of that coming out, you know, up and soon enough. But, you know, maybe his Austedo didn't work all that good for him after. I don't know if he was taking antidepressants or not in this Prozac nation that we do live in. But anyways, yeah, so that's just about all I got to say, sweetheart. And one other thing I would like to kind of bring up, and the problem with the caliphate that they're trying to push here in our own country, I think people need to get a little bit of a history education and go back in any kind of, I don't care if you get a DVD from the Crusades, from the Crescent to the Cross, get an education on where it all began and where we're at right now. History is definitely repeating herself. Yeah. That's just the way I see it, hon. You have a great day and keep up the good work.
Lance, well, thank you for calling, my friend. We appreciate you calling in, of course. And yeah, I'd say history definitely does repeat itself, and it's awful to see what happened to Rob and his wife, Reiner. It's devastating to see. No one deserves to have to go through that. And, you know, we all have someone that we love, too, that we all love dearly, who is struggling with drug addiction, and you really hope and you pray that they will be saved, but I just can't even imagine what it's like to have to go through that and then to lose now three family members. You know, their daughter obviously survived, and there's been very sweet and kind videos of the two, both her and her father, online circulating. And, you know, regardless of politics, I mean, he was kind when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, and condemning it was one of the very few, who did just that. But yeah, I mean, he didn't like Trump supporters, but you know what? I don't like liberals. And, I would hope that people would have some compassion in their hearts to not attack me for my political beliefs if something like that were to happen. Truly. We appreciate you calling in, Lance, and thank you for your input as always. Let's turn to Sean in California. Sean, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. Am I coming in loud and clear?
Yes, you are. How are you, my friend?
Doing great. I have a little solution. But before I get to that, because you've had other wonderful callers, I want to bounce off their points real quick. There is a video of Al Franken roasting Rob Reiner and implying Reiner was, let's just say, very degenerate to get ahead in Hollywood. And then there's another issue that I was going to ask you about, because you had the fingers on the button. You reported yesterday in SoCal there was a gated community where the fellow was filming it, correct?
Repeat that one more time for me.
There was a gated community in Southern California with some guy filming who came and went, correct?
I'm not familiar with what you're referring to. I'm sorry there.
Okay. Yeah, it was some guy who was you made a reference about people in California, or the one of the hosts had. Anyway, I was going to try to reach out to that community to show them what they can do, because it ties into my solution for this. I call it imported terrorism. We have two organizations. One is Catholic Charities that we got to deal with in just about every county here in Southern California, and the other is HIAS. So you have, on one hand, a Catholic organization importing troublesome migrants. On the other hand, you have a allegedly Jewish organization importing troublesome migrants. As a result, you always get this dynamic of blame the Jews or blame the Catholics, when in reality, whoever those CEOs are, who I think are probably, you know, sitting on the board at the WEF, they're probably the same people. So what we could have is Trump pull the business charters, ban those businesses from doing business in the United States, or, like the narco organizations, declare them terrorist organizations. We also, locally, can go to our sheriffs and demand that our sheriffs, who have the power to seize property, lawfully do so and save their constituents from an invasion of their county's borders. So we have a macro and a micro example right there of solutions to this problem versus trying to deal with the symptoms. Let's go ahead and get to the root of this hydra and start taking some hearts out politically, lovingly, nonviolently. What do you think?
Well, Sean, we'll have to do some digging into this, but I appreciate the idea and the energy, of course, on that front. But I'm all in for ideas on how we could stop all of this from happening, because it's destroying our country. So, Sean, thank you for calling in. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. Jefferson in Virginia, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Brianna. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Happy to do so. You know, we live in a very Orwellian world where judges can tell people that evidence has to be destroyed, wiped away. It's memory holding things. This happened with the Comey case here in D.C., where Colleen Coddley, the judge, has said that the evidence against James Comey needs to be destroyed that proves that he used Daniel Richmond to lie to Congress about leaking stuff through the New York Times. It's just amazing. And the January 6th videos around the RNC and the DNC on the day of the bombing, pipe bombing discovery, those have all been deleted. I'm going, how many different contractors does the federal government have that are storage for data, like Iron Mountain and things like that, that are supposed to be our backup record keepers for all this government data. We pay them, you know, billions of dollars, but somehow things can go missing or disappear, be ordered to be deleted, and nobody ever has a backup copy that we can refer to. It's just amazing how Orwellian the world has become, where things can just be told to the public and there doesn't need to be any evidence produced, and then the courts are being used to create false narratives. It's just crazy what's going on, that we can't figure out that there's no way we're voting ourselves out of this chaos that they're imposing upon us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you remember when one individual named Tita Peters wanted to take copies for herself before they deleted the voting records over in the county that she was working in, and they threw her in prison for doing that. So I think people see that and they get a little scared, Jefferson, because like you just said, I mean, the J6 thing is kind of mind blowing to me. If you saw our interview we did last week with Loudermilk, chairman of the J6 sub select committee, we asked him specifically about the missing footage, and he said that they were working on it. And then suddenly on Benny Johnson's show said it was gone. It was deleted. We didn't hear any criminal indictments coming or criminal investigations. So it's definitely something concerning. But yeah, I mean, you're hitting it out of the park right now. I think a lot of people are afraid because they see what happens. Tina Peters was an example of just that. You dare try to blow the whistle on corruption or try to gain a copy before we mass delete it, we'll throw you in prison for 9 years. And there will be no follow-up, no one to save you. We'll make sure that the president of the United States can't even save you. And this brave patriot is going through it right now. And, you know, she's in our hearts and prayers. But, folks, I mean, the fact that Tina Peters is still sitting in prison for just simply wanting to blow the whistle on corruption before they deleted it, this was the example that they wanted to make with Peters. Jefferson, yeah, I'll let you take it away.
She was following federal law. She was required to preserve the records, and she did what she was supposed to do under federal law. And that doesn't hurt anybody, preserving records. The idea that somehow doing what you're supposed to do for 22 months or longer hurts somebody and is a negative is just mind-blowing. It's upside-down world that we've gotten in this situation where you can get yourself in trouble by doing what you're supposed to do, and there's no accommodation of that in the legal system, where they say, okay, these two directives sort of conflict. But obviously what you did made more sense than what they did when they wanted to delete something that didn't need to be deleted. Mm-hmm. So it's just we've gotten in this situation where whoever is in authority gets to make the rules, and it's just irreversible damage is done to reality and the truth. We're living in this sort of a Truman world where the reality is something that is imposed upon us. Whether we recognize it as true or not doesn't matter. They know they're lying to us. We know they're lying to us. But they keep lying to us.
Yeah, they keep lying, and that's the problem. And they get away with all these lies. And thank you for that. I appreciate you calling in today. Speaking of just that, I wanted to give you an update right now. I just got word regarding the Pentagon right now. The Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth, has stated the Pentagon will not publicly release the complete unedited classified footage on the second U.S. missile strike on the suspected drug smuggling vessel. Apparently, it's provided it to congressional oversight, but it will not publicly release it for the American people to see. Now, as many of you guys know, I actually asked that question. I reached out to the Pentagon for comment on all of that, and they did not give me a direct response, although Sean Parnell did, the spokesperson for the Pentagon and also senior advisor to Pete Hegseth, did give me a response. It did not specifically address that question, but it looks like the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, has now just come out and said that he will not be releasing this for the American people to see. Fair question to ask. Why? Why? Why wouldn't you release it? If it's truly something you think you've been 100% in the clear for, that you were validated for doing what you did, guys did. And again, remember, the Democrats are telling us that, and again, this is political, obviously, that after the first strike, that there was two survivors who were trying to get back onto whatever was remaining of their vessel. And then a second strike did take their lives. So again, if it's not true, let's see the footage. Unfortunately, though, it looks like the Secretary of War will not be showing us that footage. We'll try to follow up and get a specific answer on that front, but I'm sure that's probably it. They probably won't tell us much in the way of details on that. All right, let us go to the next caller, Steve in Alaska. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good, Steve. So, how are you?
Yeah, recovering. Shoulder surgery. Gotta love it. So listening to some of the stuff over the last couple of days with InfoWars, and you start to look at all of these so-called weaponized religions, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand that there's three places in this world that are sovereign, and they are all parts of the head of the New World Order, as we talk about, as so-called conspiracy theorists, and that is Washington, D.C., which is the military arm. You have the Vatican, which is the religious arm. And then you have Bank of Row in England, which is the money arm. The U.S. and English secret services have created everything from ISIS, Israeli Secret Intelligence Services. Mm-hmm. There's a background on who created ISIS. He was actually a Mossad agent, but that's a story for another time. Mm-hmm. They go thousands of miles to places like France and places like Poland to attack in France. It was a theater, and now they go over there and they attack in Poland to some mm-hmm. little Jewish celebration. If you dig into the backgrounds of these groups, you will see all of the connections to all of the intelligence agencies. I mean, Osama bin Laden was trained by who? So if you really want to get America back to being America, remove the groups. I say groups because it's more than one group. You get rid of the NGOs like Jefferson was talking, or the other guy was talking about earlier, that are supporting bringing in these immigrants. Then you remove the immigrants. Get rid of Islam, period, out of the United States. It is not compatible with the United States. Or it's not compatible with Christianity. And a lot of Islamists are lower IQ individuals and prone to violence. Then you get rid of the people that are pushing them and pushing the a division in America, and that's the international Zionist Jew that owns basically all the corporations, news medias, et cetera, et cetera. And that's not saying every Jew's bad or every Muslim's bad, but get rid of them. Send them back to their own countries. Let them have their own ways in their own countries and leave America alone and start protecting America. And Israel's not the greatest country in the Middle East. If they weren't getting $18 billion a year from the United States, they'd be just like every other country in the Middle East. So, and if anybody else wants to doubt that, go look at, Muammar Gaddafi before they ended up unaliving him. Everybody in Libya had free health care. They got oil subsidies. It was a rich nation. Nobody wanted for anything. So, you know, there's a lot of truths out there that people don't want to look at, but you need to start looking, because if you don't, you won't see what's wrong with our own country, and you won't want to stand up and fix it because you won't have a clue.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Steve, for calling in and staying on hold for us. We appreciate that. We appreciate your insight, of course. Let's get to Jim in Montana. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, my friend?
All righty. Hey, I just want to give a plug to Vitamin Mineral Fusion, the Methylene Red, and I hope they bring the Super Male Vitality back sometime. But anyway.
We'll put in a good word.
okay, I appreciate it. Hey, so I kind of keep track of what Congress has in the line, and there's a bill called H.R. 260, mm-hmm. and it kind of goes along with this terrorist.
No tax dollars for terrorists act.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was bipartisanly passed through the House and is sitting in the Senate in these committees. And I'm one of these. I try and bust their tiny parts as much as possible. I can't get any information. Why is it just sitting there? Yeah. Why isn't Thune not pushing it? And Thune and Johnson, they have a case of cranial rectal inversion that I don't think a doctor could get rid of.
Jim, you're not wrong. You're actually not wrong here. And I tweeted about this today because I'm just so infuriated by it. You know, we're still funding the Taliban. And although they'll pretend like, oh, it's just aid for those in Afghanistan, it's not. The Taliban runs, obviously, the government. They are the government. And so when you're pushing money their way, they get the money. And it's so hard for people to understand now, as you just said, you know, the Senate's just holding it up, and there's probably a reason for that. Remember when Ukraine was at the beginning of the war, we saw all of these U.S. senators going to a war zone where we actually didn't even have U.S. troops. And so they were so boldly, I guess would be the way to phrase it, heading over to Ukraine because they were getting into this battleground area. And why? Well, I mean, I could just assume that they were part of the corruption, the money scheme and all of that. So why would they want to cut off funding the Taliban? Now, this is my conspiracy, but again, I probably was guessed that they probably have ties to all of this. The funding's not just going to terrorists abroad, but maybe we could say political terrorists as well, who are trying their best to destroy this country and have no regard for the American people. But yeah, you're onto something. You know, Congressman Tim Burchett is the one person who's been trying to push this, and he keeps throwing it out there and saying, hey, why haven't you guys passed my bill yet? And it's weird because they just don't have any type of appetite to cut off terrorists. Again, when we talk about the roots of all these Islamic terrorist groups, we are behind it. And we continue to fund it. And I don't know why we allow it. We apparently have a new White House. We apparently have a new leader in the White House. And no one has an appetite to go after it. So, yeah, Jim, you're definitely on to something. Thank you for calling to the show. We greatly appreciate it. All right, we've got about, I'd say about 2 minutes left. So let's turn to Chad. Chad, welcome to the show. Hi, Chad.
Calling about the FBI once again with the J6 bomb, mm-hmm. the pipe bombs. Now that you've interviewed or had Barry Loudermilk on, and now what we've heard from Thomas Massie in regards to what their committee or subcommittee has done for the investigation, I'm very, very concerned as to where that sits as to now with obviously having the suspect that's in custody, you know, that the FBI captured. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Massie has recently come out and indicated that in order for that subcommittee to be initiate or to be opened and have the investigation is that there was a condition that was agreed upon that you would not subpoena or investigate Capitol Police. So if we've got person of interest one, person of interest two, person of interest three, vehicle of interest one, and not too many clear details on exactly what all those, I mean, we have stories, we have journalists that are investigating it. We have the FBI's information that was put in the criminal complaint. I think with just that stipulation alone, does that not answer the question as to what we're all fearing is that this is a major cover-up? I mean, how are you supposed to, If you can't subpoena, if there are individuals that, let's just say, are somehow tied into that and you can't subpoena those individuals or investigate those individuals, and let's just say hypothetically that one of those individuals or a few or however many are tied into this, how are you supposed to do anything?
Yeah. Well, Chad, thanks for bringing that up. So before I actually had Loudermilk on the show, I wanted to make sure he asked him about that. And we actually did. I did ask him specifically about whether or not he was investigating Capitol Police's response that day and Capitol Police. And he did say yes, that he was. So I think that was his way of denying those claims that were being made. Now, I've heard it before. That's the reason actually why I asked. And Chad, I'm thankful that you just brought that up because I don't know if others heard it as well. Again, that's what I heard as well, that they were trying to stop them from investigating and looking into Capitol Police and their response that day. Loudermilk, the chairman of the J6 Select Committee, denying that. We're up against a hard out, though. So, Chad, thank you for calling, and thank you for everyone else who called in. Of course, I try to get to everyone's calls, but unfortunately, today we ran out of time. We'll be here tomorrow, though, and hopefully maybe we have time for calls as well. Don't go anywhere, though. The Alex Jones Show starts next. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. 60% off select supplements for a limited time. A couple hours left in that over at thealexjonesstore.com. See you tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.